Are we doing a thing? I was just checking my phone.
You didn't understand anything I said at the beginning there?
It's on my phone.
We're supposed to pause. Like, are you just going to sit there and play more techno music really loud again?
Dude, there was a twerking Wookiee.
I know.
I can't say no to a twerking Wookiee.
I can. I can.
Don't kink shame.
Well, I'm not kink shaping. I can just still say no. That's a safe word.
Crippled System is streaming.
It is. And we're trying to make people think that we weren't streaming by pausing mid-sentence.
I mean, actually, it'd be streaming badly.
Yeah.
Very low frame rate.
I found the button. That's what I did.
You found the button?
Yes, I found the button.
So you're
Raylene's happy?
Yeah, Raylene is happy.
No, so, I mean, no, she's not happy. Oh, yes, Raylene is happy. But, words.
How can I backpedal?
No, so if you look at, in film that's improvised, you know, like a Judd Apatow joint or one of those things, you
like
can...
a Christopher Guest film.
Yeah, less so because Christopher Guest groups are good about it. So there we go. In improv, the button is the punchline. It's the thing that you grab that ends the joke. And the issue with improv is getting to the button. Because in a scripted thing, you can pace it. You can make sure things are leading to that button. But in improv, you're just like throwing jokes back and forth. And then you're like, oh, this scene's been 5 minutes. And I don't know what to do about the fact that this scene has been 5 minutes and we haven't reached a punchline.
Sure.
And then you have to like awkwardly get there, or you just like end the scene. Like, and then that's just garbage. And so we needed a button. We needed an end to the bit. And I thought I found a decent one.
To end Cripple System?
Yes. The end.
Hey, that was hilarious.
Like, so with, there had to be a reason for us to unfreeze, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, the joke is that we're frozen. How do we get to unfreezing?
Mm-hmm.
That was how I chose to do that.
You weren't frozen, though. You were just still flipping through your phone there.
I was mostly frozen. I moved my thumb once to do it, and I'm like, oh, no. Leave the thumb, Nate. Leave the thumb.
Also, it was a great critique of modern life.
Yeah. You know. But that's the key. You can tell good improv, like the Christopher Guest things, because the mm-hmm. people working all still know they got to find that button. Whereas something like Judd Apatow, they just do jokes for a while, and then the scene's over, because there's no ending to a scene of Ant-Man and porn guy calling each other gay. Like, where do you end that scene?
Ant-Man?
Yeah, isn't Paul Rudd one of the guys?
I seriously thought that Ant-Man, the first one, was directed by Judd Apatow.
The actors, in the 40-year-old Virgin, there's the "This is how I know you're gay" scene between Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a funny, albeit dated and not woke scene, but it doesn't
going.
End. It just goes, and then they're like, I guess the scene's over, and then you go to the next scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's kind of, it's very similar to Crippled System petering out.
Sure.
After subject after subject. We just kind of peter out for like a good 5-6 seconds of just pure silence, and then we open a new tangent.
But that's what the clip program is for.
I'm sorry, I'm on my phone again. Were you still talking?
Mm-hmm.
See, and that's a callback. Another
mm-hmm.
a professional podcasting type thing.
Yeah.
And I just declined a phone call from my wife. You know I'm a recording woman.
She wanted to know about the button.
No, she knows about the button. She's all heart. At her job, there's an entryway, and in the entryway are the Girl Scouts, and they're selling the cookies. And she said, what should I get? And I told her everything. Get me literally everything.
Depends
what kind of peanut butter patties they have. If they're the Oreo-style sandwich cookies with the peanut butter in the middle, fuck that noise.
Are we on the chocolate ones? I'm trying to remember. Are we in Wisconsin, the East Coast or the West Coast?
We get Caramel Delights instead of Samoas, which is a damned shame. But I think we get the good peanut butter patties.
Samoa's got coconut on them?
So do Caramel Delights. They're the same general thing, but Caramel Delights are slightly less good. But the big issue, the bigger difference is the peanut butter patties, because one of the locations has sandwich style, like Oreo style, where it's two things, almost like a Nutter Butter,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but a round Nutter Butter. Whereas the other bakery has literal, like a wafer with a layer of peanut butter, and then the whole thing's covered in chocolate.
Why isn't that not a thing?
It is a thing.
No, so you're talking about like the wafers, like the nutty butter thingies. but it's
not
a
nutty
circle.
Bars.
If there was a nutty, if there was a nutty bar that was in circular form, that was then coated, like actual dipped in like really thick chocolate.
Sure.
Maybe like a dark chocolate. That would be fucking amazing.
Possibly. But yeah, so she bought from this group like on her lunch break.
Sure.
And then on her way out the store at the end of her shift, she went out to the other door and there was a different group of Girl Scouts at that door and she felt bad, so she bought everything from them too. So what? I have two of everything coming.
Oh, that's not good.
I mean, on the other hand, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, Leslie asked me if I what kind of Girl Scout cookies I wanted and or like if I needed it. And I said, I don't need any. But
I'll take
if,
one of
if there's if there's happen to be Thin Mints here, I'll help them. I'll help make sure they disappear.
Thin Mints are solid. The Tagalog shortbreads are good. You know, with a little, you know, dip them in a little milk and whatever. It's almost like pecan sandies. Like I said, the good peanut butter patties are legit. Samoas are crack cocaine. I will eat a sleeve of Samoas in a bat of an eye. You are so wrong to badmouth the coconut.
I'm so anti coconut.
That's wrong.
It's part of my coalition.
It's wrong.
It's part of my mission statement for my army.
Baked goods with coconut on them are ridiculously delicious. Magic bars, like those seven-layer brownies that are called magic bars. You get yourself a recipe of magic bars. You make magic bars sometime, you will never badmouth coconut in a baked good again.
I don't like, was it German chocolate stuff? Because it's got coconut everywhere on it.
Okay.
It's just a... I don't like coconut.
I mean, repeating your wrong opinion doesn't make it right. You're just repeating your wrong opinion.
No, it's an opinion. It's not.
Some opinions.
No,
can be wrong.
The opinion may be wrong to you, but it's not. It's,
some opinions are wrong.
Nope. Coconut.
Nope. Some of your opinions are wrong.
Yeah, you know, I
like, for example, if you say that Nickelback is a better band than the Beatles, you're wrong. They can probably claim made it's an more, opinion, but it's wrong.
Probably made more money than
they
the Beatles.
They have not made more money than the Beatles. Really? Paul McCartney was the first billionaire in the musical industry. Yeah. The Beatles have made a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, but he's going to have part of his secret mission to kill off the rest of the Beatles anyway.
Sure.
He's doing pretty good.
He was the first one to die.
What?
Because he was the first one to die.
Paul McCartney? No.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney about that?
Oh, 1969. It's the clone. It's the robot. Yeah.
False Paul, otherwise known as Fall. Or Faux Paul. So it's the F-A-U.
Faux McCartney.
Yeah.
Faux Paul's Drag Race?
Yeah. But all that's stupid and doesn't matter because the important thing is the announcements.
Announcements. And what we should also go through is like, hey, welcome to Crippled System.
You. I know you. I know you.
Episode 364. My name is Andy. And I play a game.
364. It's one of my favorite. So, you know.
Wait, 264.
But 364.
Did I say 364?
You did say 364 because it made me think of, you know how sometimes there's lines like in movies or whatever that aren't like a big quotable line, but for some reason you just kind of love? Like, for example, in Fellowship of the Rings, I love the guy that says proud feet. Because that's a funny joke to me. If your family name is Proudfoot, then a group of you should be Proudfeet. I like that guy. And I like, for some reason, in The Nightmare Before Christmas, when the mayor's like, we only have 365 days left till Halloween, and the werewolf just goes, 364! I just love that line. I don't know why. So we need to make another 100 episodes so I can reference that again.
Hit the start button a bunch of times real quick.
I'll be back.
What? Oh.
I'll be back.
You have to call? What?
He just got called again.
Oh, and I just farted. So I'm Andy.
And I'm Dan.
Yay!
And that was Nathan.
I'm Nathan. Murderer.
I don't know why Nathan left us.
I have no napkins, and this is a very greasy burger now.
What is that, a patty melt?
Yeah, it's the sourdough melt from Culver's. Double, and it's amazing. I just have no place to put it because I have... Oh, I'll use the notes from last week. So
hey, we're a very green podcast. We're recycling.
Recycling, yes. Just putting the oil everywhere. That's true. So I mentioned before, I accidentally killed a mouse. I kind of feel bad. At the same time, I don't feel bad.
You should never feel bad about killing a mouse.
But I kind of do. The way he died was kind of... It was kind of mean.
Like, did you flood a sink and chase it in or something?
No.
Like, did you push him in a little model train and then drive him to a camp?
Nope. So... Our basement, unfortunately, the dungeon that we're in right now, it had a mouse in it, and I set down a live trap.
Okay.
And I bought a live trap, and the live trap didn't work.
Okay, because most live traps don't actually work.
Yeah, it
because
was...
it turns out mice are actually relatively intelligent.
Yeah, he was pretty smart. I even put like peanut butter on bread inside the live trap. He actually went inside the live trap, ate the peanut butter, and then eventually got out.
And probably left the bread.
And left the bread too. Yep. Yeah,
because he just touched the bread.
Yeah, he doesn't like the bread. He likes fresh bread. He didn't like the stale. Well, dry yeah, bread.
That's why you don't put Wonder Bread in the mousetrap.
Yeah. So then I ended up, my roommate moved out, and I thought that the mouse went with him, potentially. So I was happy about that. And then I, just as a test.
And then it got cold.
Yeah.
And then the mouse came back.
And then as a test, I put down some more peanut butter and bread into the mousetrap, and it didn't go away for days. I'm like, oh, sweet, he's gone. And then I noticed one day it was there. I mean, he was eating it all. I'm like, son of a bitch. So I got another live trap, which is the giant metal one back there. And I ended up putting more peanut butter and bread inside of it. And he didn't touch it for like many, many days. And so I kind of stopped checking the trap.
Oh.
And then I found that. Then I went and noticed, and I'm like, oh, the mouse is in there. Oh, he's very dead.
The mouse was in there.
The mouse was in there. Because, yeah, it was a live trap that turned into a death trap for him. Because I didn't check it for days. And I know that they can dehydrate very quickly.
You know.
He shouldn't have been in the basement.
If he had just eaten his leg off, he would have been able to escape. I've seen Saw.
That would have done nothing?
Like I said, I've seen Saw.
It was another live trap.
Sure. Like I said, I've seen Saw.
They didn't eat their leg off. And
well,
saw.
I mean, you know, a mouse can't use a hacksaw. It doesn't have opposable digits.
That's true, and I don't have a hacksaw small enough for him to use in there.
Are you saying this basement is not from The Secret of NIMH?
Yes. There's no Nicodemus anywhere.
I mean, you have the correct, you know, hobby tools.
I do. That, I haven't seen The Secret of NIMH in, geez,
20 years.
Very long time. I assume that, has your kid made you watch it at
no,
all?
No, he is not old enough for The Secret of NIMH movie.
That movie legitimately scared me as
Correct.
A child. So I, yeah,
like I would consider reading the book to him if he had enough attention to actually get through it. But he doesn't quite yet.
There's a book.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Yeah, it's based on a book. The book is actually much better.
So is it like Watership Down?
No, but you know how in the movie the mouse is just like, oh, I can read.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, it's a National Institute of Health program, and they teach them to read and stuff like that. So it just explains things a lot better. Whereas in the movie, you can obviously tell that they're like, "Well, we need to cut, or we need to condense a bunch." He just read.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. Sweet.
Yes, and also, yeah, as Arctic Circle points out, the book is less horrifying because like Nicodemus doesn't just like seem to exist to scare the shit out of everyone.
I always thought it was really cool with him and his just kind of the cobwebs and such that were kind of off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Nicodemus or was it the owl?
That might have been the owl. The owl was legitimately like nightmare feel.
Yeah, I think it was the owl that I remember now. Man, it's been such a long time since I saw that. I'm wondering if the
just don't watch Secret of NIMH 2.
No, uh-oh, that didn't. For the audience, we just overheard Nathan say, if they don't come to rescue in the next 10 minutes, give me a call. So it sounds like that there might be off-roading.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give everyone notice, too, we're setting for another snowstorm.
Yay.
At least our grocery stores are filled with food still.
That's because this is just a Tuesday.
So Charles Foster posted a picture of have you seen all the pictures of just empty grocery stores?
Yes, Seattle grocery stores look like the salt departments in every home supply store in town.
Yes.
Because, you know, we, on the other hand, got a solid inch of ice last week.
Yes, holy shit, that sucks.
I put 20 pounds of salt down on my sidewalk, and it is walkable.
But. And it promptly got freezing cold again, so the salt doesn't work.
Well, that's why I buy the negative 15 stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back. What did I miss? Repeat everything.
We talked about The Secret of NIMH. Oh, and Andy talked about trapping a mouse in a live trap and then letting it die because for his own amusement.
Watchable.
Not for my own amusement. It was not. I got a live trap and then I forgot about it. And the poor guy died inside of it. This is after like many days of him not showing
well,
up.
Well, sure, yeah. But watchable is the correct description of the Netflix Watership Down. It is not good, but it's watchable.
It's washable?
Well, it's washable. It's okay.
Is it less, you know, lure you in and then drop the horrors of World War II on than the original?
Yes, very much so. So, yes, the original film is grotesquely horrifying. Like, they add extra characters just so they have characters to brutally murder. I don't know if you read the book or see the...
No.
I know. See the movie?
I've seen, I think, most of the movie over various pieces, but I can't say I sat down and watched it.
I've watched it a lot. But several of the characters that survive the book die horribly in the movie, and they introduce additional characters just to kill them off, which is
so what you're saying brutal. Is this is where Martin got the ideas.
Yeah, it is. Like, Watership Down, the animated children's film, is like the Game of Thrones, the TV series or books. No exaggeration. The book is much less so. Like, the book, God, I don't think there's any casualties of people on the good guy side in the book or the miniseries, whereas the movie has like a dozen of them die. It's just a fucking bloodbath, like literally rivers of blood. But the bad guy sure dies in all three versions. Movie's so good. That's all you're talking about is starving a mouse to death?
Yeah, I did.
And then I blew Andy's mind by telling him The Secret of Nim was a book.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim. Hmm. Her name was changed from Frisbee to Brisbee in the movie to avoid lawsuits, even though it was spelled differently. And, I mean, it's a name.
Correct.
Why is... What?
Frisbee is a trademark term of probably Hasbro.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it was Hasbro at the time.
But her name is Frisby. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, not Frisbee.
But they changed it to Brisbee just to be safe.
I think it's why I remember that movie. I don't remember points of that movie, but I remember being remember very enthralled with that movie a lot.
Don Bluth made great movies in the 80s, and his mantra
and
was
we're still paying for it now.
Kids can handle anything as long as you give them a happy ending, is the famous Don Bluth quote. And there was terrifying shit in those things. The Great Owl sequence in Secret of Nim is terrifying stuff.
Yeah.
Like the rats just getting crushed under cinder blocks, just death and dismay.
Did I mention last week on the podcast about a kid getting hurt jumping off of a roof?
No.
A kid broke his arm while jumping off of a slide with an umbrella because he saw it happen in Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, did I mention that last week
at all?
Because
it was on Facebook.
Because honestly, that was my childhood. I saw Mary Poppins. I tried jumping off the roof of my house with an umbrella.
Sure.
I also jumped off the roof of my house with a makeshift parachute.
Just stop jumping off the roof of your house.
No.
You ski off of it.
Yeah, no. See, my G.I. Joes, I would be able to throw them off the roof, and they would have that parachute, and that was really cool. And I'm like, well, I could just get a trash bag. That's about the size proportionate to my size.
But, Chat, talk about Bluth versus Disney. I would say in the 80s, Bluth was better than Disney. And in the 90s, Disney had its renaissance, you know, with Aladdin and Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, okay, Mr. Noises. We got a freaking, what's her face? Tina. You're doing your Tina Belcher impression? Yep, that's your Tina Belcher impression.
I mean, I will take those mushrooms when you're done pulling them off.
And they're not mushrooms. Caramelized onions.
They're just all caramelized onions. Oh, I don't like them.
Caramelized onions are the fucking
best. They
man.
Get in my mustache and my beard, and all I can smell is onions for the rest of the fucking day.
Well, now
and
your fingers just smell like caramelized onions. No. I mean, kind of yes, actually, but no. Caramelized onions so good.
I like them without.
The whole point of a patty melt is the caramelized onions.
I just like the sourdough bread. Actually.
Second only to White Castle and needing the onions to work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you kind of need them in order to actually get those down. Sorry if I'm eating in front of you.
I say also, White Castle.
If you're eating in front of us,
yeah.
There's no if there.
I haven't eaten anything yet. I've just been slowly.
Just eat the goddamn burger.
Yeah.
It's a patty melt. Make sure to do it as noisily as possible. Our producer loves when people make lots of noise on the podcast.
It's okay. We'll just timestamp this so that we remind you of this next week when we're back to normal.
So anyway,
somebody would have loved that hearing me eating. Very, we could have did some ASMR.
That's not ASMR at all. I don't think you know what ASMR is.
No, it could be.
It's not just rawm, rawm, I'm eating the burger.
There's one person in the world that would like that, and he is the guy that would like all the ham.
No, he wants. Yeah, I guess so.
What are you doing?
We're making noise and
no, we're not making noise anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did you see the ASMR that they did for the Super Bowl?
I saw
the worst commercial.
I saw nothing for the Super Bowl whatsoever. And it was the best.
It's so bad. Everything about the Super Bowl was bad. I accidentally caught sums of it, and all those bits that I caught were dumb and terrible and bad.
Yeah, I watched honestly only the fourth quarter. So I got to see the 3-3 tie go into just like, oh, more pain.
The NFL is garbage. Both those teams are garbage. The commercials were all garbage. The halftime band was garbage.
Which, speaking of which, what did they do to piss off the SpongeBob fans?
They didn't play the song from the SpongeBob thing.
Okay.
There's a SpongeBob song that people were petitioning to get played because the creator died. And what?
Okay.
And so, like, people had been doing this petition to get that song played. It's a song about, you know, being triumphant, blah, blah, whatever. And then they tweeted, like, a picture of SpongeBob implying that they were going to do it. And instead, they just had, like, a little Squidward cameo at the beginning. So people were mad. They felt like they'd been played. That's your answer.
So I didn't watch the halftime show, but I purposely went to YouTube and I actually watched the halftime show afterwards. So I don't know if they fixed any of the audio issue, if there was audio issues.
No, you could still hear Maroon 5.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl halftime show marred by a functional audio system.
Yes.
I would say it was
safe.
It was, yeah, it was very fucking safe. It was very well produced, but it was just filled with just stupidity and nonsense and shit that I don't care about.
Dude, Maroon 5 is not your target audience's band, NFL. Isn't it not.
Just teenage girls?
Yeah, famously, the you know, American football's biggest market share is teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that's...
Well, kudos for them to reaching out to them.
Right, I mean, so there's something to be said for reaching out for not your normal target audience.
Yeah.
You know... But on the other hand,
just Book Lordy.
On the other hand, you don't play Run the Jewels. Lordy. You don't play Run the Jewels at a NASCAR event. You know what I mean? You know your target audience. You get your fucking country singers down
what's,
there.
What's Run the Jewels? I don't
Run the Jewels.
What?
Run the Jewels.
Don't know.
We played some Run the Jewels on the way home from Judge Mathis, and me and Johnny and all, we were grooving to it, and you were all like, I'm an angry old white man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was that the hip hop that was hearing in?
Yeah, it was the Run the Jewels we were hearing, yeah.
The hippity hop hop, can't stop, really bop bop bop.
That's actually a flawless run. Were you just playing a Run the Jewels CD? That was amazing. You sound just like Killer Mike. But the point is, yeah, I get trying to reach out to stuff, but you need your target audience. You need to embrace them. Sling Blade.
Just have Billy Bob Thornton. Think about Billy Bob Thornton's band out there.
Just a baby.
I wonder if some of the shows that he does, because you know he's in a band.
Is he?
Yeah.
Good lord,
Billy Bob. Yeah.
Why?
Because he can't get work.
Is he better or worse than Bruce Willis's band?
I think he's much better. I think from
Bruce Willis's band, bless them, they try.
But no, I wonder if Billy Bob actually switches over to Sling Blade in the middle of his shows.
Singing my song. Oughtn't have done that.
Drinking a vial of blood.
You saw Billy Bob at Ozfest?
Yeah, Chad is. I think Chad is talking smack about Run the Jewels, and that's hurtful. I've never seen them band, but their albums are all. I've never seen them live, but their albums are all good. If they just had a bad live performance, that's unfortunate.
I assume that they're more of a. You mentioned them. I don't remember them, but I assume that they're more of like just a full-on hip-hop type.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like yes. Maybe.
It is not like hybrid like Gorillaz is, where whatever. It is, they are a hip-hop band.
Okay.
Oh, he's talking about Lordy.
Oh, Lordy is not really that great either.
No, Lordy, just Lordy funny. Look who's 40. Wait, I thought you were just mispronouncing that one teenage girl.
No.
No, Lordy is basically, it's
safe guar.
Yeah, it's a very safe guar.
No, I thought you meant like the royals.
No,
not Lordy.
No, they're the 2005 Eurovision winners.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
okay.
If you can imagine a band that's
really confused why Run the Jewels was at Ozfest. I'm like, I guess, you know, but no.
I mean, that's... Yeah. I've seen weirder casting costs.
Sure, that's why.
I mean, there was that era where, you know, Sharon was just high on cocaine the whole year, and that booking made no sense.
Yeah. Also, kind of sadly, speaking of which, Ozzy is like literally as we record dying.
They've been still trying to show.
Hopefully, they stabilize him. But
yeah, I mean, well, he's supposedly in intensive care right now for complications of the flu. But his family is really beating that positivity engine outside. So I mean, they're. I mean, yeah, it would really suck when Ozzy goes. I mean, it's gonna happen.
Correct.
More likely in our lifetime, unless I die from this burger.
I mean, well, yes. You think any of us are? You think Ozzy will outlive any of us?
He's no Keith Richards.
Keith Richards died 30 years ago.
Yeah,
that is a corpse that's just twitching from all the drugs still inside of the muscle tissue.
Here's a weird rabbit hole I went down. And I'm holding my hands like this because they're all greasy and I can't put them anywhere. But a weird rabbit hole I went down is I was trying to find, somebody had mentioned something about Keith Richards, and I was trying to find the Dennis Leary quote in there. It was like, Keith, we can't do all the drugs because you already fucking did them all.
Yeah.
I was trying to find that from No Cure for Cancer, and which got me into listening to more from No Cure for Cancer.
Yeah.
And unlike a lot of comedians nowadays, like if you listen back to some old Eddie Murphy stuff, old Richard Pryor stuff, they're actually really toeing the line of being not, I mean, not PR as what we are now, but No Cure for Cancer is pretty decent still.
Yeah, no, he as like grumpy and angry and edgy as it like the character persona came across, he was doing pretty safe stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, basically all this
rock
stuff.
Stars do drugs and traffic makes me angry. Like, yeah, you're not making jokes about Mr. T giving people AIDS like Eddie Murphy was.
Yeah, like you listen to Raw nowadays.
Right.
That's
no, I don't.
I prefer not to.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I mean, I listen to a good half hour of that too. And I'm like, man, this is basically all talking about all the shit that he has done. And that's fine.
Yeah.
He's talking about NyQuil, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's the difference.
You giant fucking cute.
Yeah, No Cure for Cancer is probably Bill Hicks' best comedy album.
I still like...
I like Dennis Leary. I like Dennis Leary, but come on.
He does have very much similar to Bill Hicks' style in that. I agree.
Yes.
Oh, no. The cheese is... attach itself to the sandwich.
Yeah, that's what it does. That's the whole... I am so angry at how wrong you are eating a fucking patty melt. God damn
I asked for no onions.
Why?
I
got onions.
Yeah, like, and they were like, he ordered wrong. Let's fix this for him.
No! Correct. No, I even wrote it down,
Andy,
too.
The customer is not always right.
The it's customer like, is right.
It's no, like you were customer service. You know that that's a lie.
Ordering a patty melt with no onions is like ordering a pizza with no sauce or cheese.
Congratulations,
I could do
Andy.
No sauce. I could do no sauce, but cheese.
No.
Then it's just cheese bread, and I'm happy with that.
Well, exactly. And that would defeat my metaphor.
I like bread, though. Pizza bread is actually really good.
You're no sauce, no cheese, left only beef. The left beef pizza.
Where is that from?
It's a picture someone put on the internet where they ordered Domino's and they said no sauce, no cheese, left beef. So they just wanted beef on the left side of the pizza. No, so the thing's just this bread with loose meatballs.
Well, when that went viral, there was an amazing thread of everyone doing that and just seeing what you'd come up with.
Yeah.
There were some amazing creations and you could tell which like, you know, stoned people at Domino's had seen the internet and which ones hadn't.
Yeah.
Because after a while, people would start writing messages in the beef because they knew it was getting posted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck you.
You can have these.
No, I don't want your goddamn onions.
I will take them.
No, I want.
I'm just letting you have your drip catch first.
Yeah, let me. I'm going to have to leave the podcast here for a moment to go get a napkin or something.
That's fine. I had to leave the podcast to listen to my wife. I'm trapped in the snow. I'm going to die. Whatever. So
was she actually trapped?
Yeah, her car was stuck in the middle of a road somewhere. I don't know. She'll figure it out. She's an adult.
As Nathan goes into,
what was I gonna do? She's like an hour away from here. She'll figure it out.
As Nathan has to go into the fourth spare bedroom tonight.
Yeah.
He needs those two bedrooms of space.
I'm doing the tour. I'll be up in the north wing.
How's the heating? Ooh.
Oh. Jesus. The heating's fine. One of the radiators in one of the bedrooms cracked on the seam because of a series of unfortunate events. So, you know,
at what point does Kaya show up?
She was not to blame for it, oddly enough. So, the other dog helped discover it. So, Robert had lizards. And your lizards, you feed them bugs. And then his terrible fiance left, and then she took the lizards. And there was apparently a container of, like, mealworms that was left behind in the room. And so, like, apparently some got out. And so that room, which none of us bothered going into for, like, 5 months, just had bugs. Like, it was like that scene from Temple of Doom. There were just, like, bugs on the walls and ceilings. Like, not solid layers, but you could see them. So we're like, well, we got to do that. So we spray them and we kill them some and we get rid of the bugs. And I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever. We got rid of some whatevers. And so then like a week later, there were still some more. And so like, well, we'll get rid of them. And so, well, I didn't know they did this. Robert just opened the window so that the cold would kill them. And this was when it was just like this temperature.
Sure. Like and below freezing.
Yeah. And so then the negative 60 week happened. And that window was still open, and that radiator under the window was still full of water, and water freezes, and when it freezes, it expands, and when it expands, it splits the seam on a radiator, and then when it gets warm again, that water all thaws and starts dripping out of the radiator onto the floor and then into the dining room below.
Oh.
But thankfully, it didn't like go through the floor. It went the pipe that provided it. It ran along the pipe, and then just where the pipe U-bends.
Oh, so
So it's not in the ceiling. Like it came through, and then you can see the pipes like running along mm-hmm. under my dining room ceiling. There's just pipes there, and so the 90-degree bend there, it was just dripping down there.
Lucky,
yes,
very lucky.
Yes. You're also lucky that it didn't crack the inlet.
Yes, there's a lot of lucky involved in that. Well, it turns out because then we drained it of all its water and everything, and we were looking for the crack, and we could see it actually. That radiator had cracked once before and just been puttied shut. Mm. So that also is lucky because it encouraged it to break on that same spot, which was the least disastrous place for it to break. So that was fun. So that room's cold.
Oh, there's.
But the rest of them are good. Jesus. No, don't. You're a terrible person.
No, it's because, hey, this is Wisconsin.
You and your. Oh.
This is Wisconsin. Be a lovely lover, Greece.
These are so good.
Yeah, they belong on a patty melt. Anyway. No, Andy's gone.
He has to go off and think about what he did. I'm trying to figure out why I'm going to leave the podcast at some point.
Just like in general, you mean, or today?
Today, because that seems to be what we do.
What were we even talking about? Run the Jewels, that was part of it. Andy being terrible at patty melts.
I mean, we have...
Oh, my wife, whatever. So there's a hill up to the house, and she got like halfway up the hill, and the car can't make it the rest of the way, but now it's stuck in snow, and it can't go back down the hill. So
is plane big enough to have a hill?
Yeah, it has like one giant hill, and we're on the top of it.
Ah.
So every direction is uphill to get to our house, and sure, she's just fucked. Well, that's fine. She'll figure it out. She actually did figure it out. She's fine. She called, and the kids came and rear-ended her home. Because our... her middle child's fiance has like an SUV, so he just bump drafted up there. Andy's back.
Hi, do you want soda?
What is it?
Diet 7-Up.
Okay. I mean, after the amount of salt I just ate from those, I probably should.
Thank you. Anyway, I was trying to get to announcements.
Announcements!
Time stamp it,
like, what, 35 minutes in or something?
Yeah, actually, well done. Really? It is February. February is format changing for your streaming things as old things go away and new things come up. And the most important thing is that in February, Hulu brought back season one of Legion and season two came with it. So for the love of fucking God, go watch all of Legion.
I haven't seen season two yet. It's on my DVR.
Yeah. Season three is going to be airing soonish. So, geez Louise, watch Legion, all of Legion, catch up on Legion.
Don't know if Jim likes it or not. I forced Jim to watch it. He was kind of okay with it.
Neato.
But
this is actually really good for a diet soda.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
It doesn't have that, like, in your face diet taste.
No.
Correct. Citrusy diet. No, because, like, Diet Orange is really fucking bad. Like,
Diet Crush is good. Mm-hmm. I like Diet Crush.
The best is still, like, the Diet Spruckers.
Sure.
Because it's not, like, a true, like, zero calorie one. It's just, like, low sugar one. So it's got. Yeah. It's like 25 calories instead of like 300 for a root beer.
But what does that have to do with Legion?
Well, you can drink that while watching Legion.
Yeah. So fucking. Speaking of fucking, you're lying calorie diets, like not diet versus fucking diet. If you give me a diet soda, it should have zero calories. Diet sodas have zero calories. That's the whole point of diet sodas. Or maybe like 10, right? Like good old RC-10. Everyone loves RC-10. Big hit in the Crippled Sister podcast. I don't know how many of your damn cold fries.
They're still moderately warm.
They're cold.
No. These are flat out cold.
But they're good.
Firehouse Subs.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious, nutritious Firehouse Subs. Get yourself a New York steamer. New York steamer.
The Cleveland steamer.
No, that's different.
You want to get that from Firehouse Subs.
You eat a New York steamer, and then you can give a Cleveland steamer because that's the water cycle. Anyway.
Is that why Rillian was complaining?
Yes. She was stuck on a hill, and I wasn't there to give her a New York steamer.
And you found the button.
And I found the button. So. Oh, like her clitoris. I get it.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Please explain more. Anyway.
Give me the owlbear.
So you
no touching the elbow.
I heard give me the aloe vera, and I was really worried how you were going to get. Hello. After last week's conversation, we already killed David, so all that's left is the wedding and the. Anyway, so they have a Coke Freestyle machine at the Firehouse Subs.
Subs.
And you go into the Coke Freestyle machine menu, and you have normal. And you have low/no calorie.
Yep.
And Firehouse Subs has an exclusive beverage in their Coke Freestyle machine, which is their cherry limeade.
Oh, okay.
And they got like buckets of lime wedges. So you can add those to your cherry limeade. Delicious. Fucking cherry limeade. Everybody loves cherry limeade, right?
I think the exclusives at the Freestyle machines are the best sodas in the world.
Yeah. So they have cherry limeade. It's a Firehouse Subs exclusive. Highly recommend that. But, you know, I'm not in good shape, and I don't eat healthily. But my thought is if I eat a 1,000-calorie burger and drink a zero-calorie soda, that's 1,000 calories. If I eat a 1,000-calorie burger and drink a 500-calorie soda, that's 1,500 calories. So the fat person ordering all the food and a Diet Coke is a joke, but it also is legitimately fewer calories.
The math does add up.
The math is there. I mean, I'm not fooling myself. I'm still eating a fucking double Whopper and 50. Like, I know it's
I
not
want
healthy.
All the ham.
Correct. I'm eating all the ham, but at least I'm not also drinking 1,000 calories of sugar water with it.
Sure.
I'm eating it, drinking 0 calories of some chemical water that who knows what it's going to do to me. But that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
fine.
Also, it's corn water.
Cancer comes later.
Cancer comes later. Fat is now. The point is, I go to the... That's a mantra right there. Cancer comes later. Fat is now. That's an episode title. So you go and you click on low/no calories, and then boom, they have the diet cherry limeade.
Which is still probably like 55 calories or so. Wait, 120?
So I've been drinking the low-calorie diet cherry limeade. That shit's like in 12 ounces is like 300 calories. Like it is raw sugar water. I don't know what the fuck the regular limeade is like, but the low-calorie limeade is like... pure calories.
It's
and I've been drinking them for like a year before I caught on. It's because I happened to see the numbers. I've always assumed it was like maybe 50, like 20 or something. Like zero was too optimistic. But then I saw that it was like a triple digit calorie count. I'm like, you motherfuckers. You can't call yourself low calorie.
I mean, they can. They're just lying.
Compared to the regular, it's lower. But maybe. Lower let's isn't low.
Let's find out.
Oh, I was so angry.
Also, the sub menus there are also lies too. They don't really lead you to a lot of those.
They usually work fine.
But no. So you were talking about the cherry limeade is the Firehouse Subs exclusive. The one that's for Wendy's if you have a Wendy's that has a freestyle machine, it comes with the Dave sodas. And the Dave sodas are basically three different sodas. There's like a cherry cream soda, a orange cream soda, and some kind of weird berry root beer soda, which is not very good. But the cherry cream is to die for. You have to, if you go to Wendy's, get the cherry cream soda from there. It is amazing.
Yeah, no, cherry cream. I mean, cherry anything.
Cherry, the cherry cream is amazing. What are you guys looking up?
Coke. Give me a minute. All right. Firehouse Subs Cherry Limeade for a 12-ounce is 180 calories, and the light is 120.
Like, whoopty shit, man.
It's a little better.
It's also a 33% reduction in calories. It is a 33% reduction. Going from light to standard is a 50% increase, but going from standard to light is a 33% reduction.
I'm just trying to figure out how it drops 12 calories of sugar and 24 calories of carbohydrates.
Is there just bread in there? Like,
it gains carbs?
No, it's the regular is 48 grams of carbs and 36 grams of sugar, and the light is 24 grams of carbs and 24 grams of sugar. So where are the other 12 carbs? Also,
the croutons.
That's worse than Mountain Dew, I think.
Yes! It's absurd. I've been getting like a giant thing and filling. I've drank two of those in a seat sitting every trip to Firehouse Subs forever.
Yeah, you're fat,
dude. Like
that was like 500 calories.
Yes,
because the big one is 220.
Yes, I was so angry, so fucking angry when I found that out.
For reference, a 22 ounce regular Coke is 270.
Yeah, yeah. The white cherry limeade is like a Coke.
Wow.
Like, just fuck you. Like, why bother? Just have your cherry limeade and admit that it's not healthy to drink. Mm-hmm. Fucking A.
I think they, yeah. Hmm.
Oh, wait. Sorry. That was a 22 ounce. 32 ounce. Let's see.
That's, yeah.
You don't want that number.
No, I don't want that number because I would drink
they
two
have
of them.
48 ounce under?
Yeah, that's probably the super large cup.
The point is, I drank more calories than I ate. And that's what I was trying to avoid by not drinking Cokes and Mountain Dews.
It's 11 calories an ounce.
Fuck. Oh, my God. Yeah, so if I drank like 64 ounces.
Yeah, just bring yourself a big gulp and go in there. What's to stop people from doing that? Other than the people behind the counter going, hey.
That's mostly that.
Yeah. Water is zero calories, buoy, but so is a Diet Coke, and it has flavor and fizziness.
Yeah, Diet Coke. Yeah, it's. I wish it would bring back my favorite Diet Coke that had all the adjectives to it, which
the like, Death Coke.
Yeah, no, it was black cherry vanilla Diet Coke.
I feel that it needs to be a caffeine free.
Cherry vanilla Diet Coke is still in those.
No, not black cherry.
Oh well, I don't
black
know.
Cherry vanilla Diet Coke.
Sure.
It was like a black and yellow can. It was amazing.
Yeah, no, yeah, and there's the sodium in these, and that's true.
Sodium's not too bad, though.
2% in these guys, but still. Yeah.
No, the only reason why I drink the Diet 7-Up is because, number one, I...
You channel the spirit of Wilther Brimley?
But in the morning, I can drink two energy drinks, like Monster energy drinks. So I usually get the low-carb ones. And then for lunch, I can immediately go into my car and take a nap.
Sure.
Like I can drink two of them and take a nap. But if I have any kind of caffeine after
those aren't
like
very good energy drinks then.
But if I take if I have like any kind of caffeine after like 3 o'clock, I won't be able to fall asleep at all at night. So that's why I drink the Diet 7-Ups because there's it's basically flavored fizzy water.
I don't really have a way of choice, Jim. Just whatever works, you know? I don't know, I'll take all comers.
It could be the crippled system diet.
Death.
Just drink. Drink. Just
die. Lose all your weight.
Yeah, that works.
We'll mm-hmm. get your water back.
What? What? Water back?
It's a Dune reference.
Oh no! I literally didn't hear what you said.
Oh yeah,
I said what was I did not hear.
Oh yeah, sorry. We'll get your water back.
Yeah, no, that works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
we'll just render you off in the corner.
I still think that movie's going to fail.
Well, there's going to be two movies.
Either going to be the best damn thing ever or the most glorious train wreck ever.
Exactly.
Either way, I will watch it.
There is zero way that this is not worth the time being put into it.
Sure.
Because it's either the next Lord of the Rings, where you adapt this great classic work into a finally...
Oh, the best part is that after the first movie does really well, then they'll be going, we're going to adapt the rest of his books.
I mean, what's worse, Brian Herbert writing it or milking the cat?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So that's the question, is who ruined Dune more, Brian Herbert or David Lynch?
Brian Herbert.
Yeah.
David Lynch made one.
That's true. That's true. God, fucking A. Like the weird prequel where like the Baron was hot until the Reverend Mother gave him fatty poison. And
I thought it was the gay AIDS.
And that too. Yeah, it's so bad. So bad. Dune, Arctic Circle in chat, is what we're talking about. The two-part Dune film.
Which has been half the existence of our podcast for the last month.
Yeah, yeah. It's I got my bucket list. I got like three things to live for, and that's one of them now.
What's the third?
My family. They're a distant third to the other two.
What's the other? So there's Dune, mm-hmm. there's Pissing Cherry Limeade.
Yeah. No. No, there's Dune, there's my family, and there's pissing on Mitch McConnell's grave.
Oh, okay. Is that the number one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I am living out of spite at this point.
Also, that's a great suicide tactic, potentially.
Mm-hmm. God, fucking bad. Anyway, how about them?
Oh, guess what I watched?
Dune?
Nope. You guys hyped it up for me for like so long, and I finally watched it.
Telltale Games, Tales from the Borderlands?
No, I haven't finished that either.
Dune?
Nope.
Dune?
It involves a certain Downey Jr.
Morton Downey Jr.?
Oh, that would be amazing if it was Morton Downey Jr.
Yeah.
They should just digitally... You know how they have ages, you know, where you can age people in that? Mm-hmm. They should just put Morton Downey Jr. into all of
Robert Downey Jr.
films. So I'd love to see Morton Downey Jr. inside the mask as Iron Man.
Yeah, so you watch...
Which is smoke just billowing out of his helmet because he's just in the...
So what you're saying is you watched No Country for Old Men again?
No. Downey Jr. wasn't that.
You watched Nice Guys version 1.0?
Yeah. Hey, you know what I didn't like? I didn't like Nice Guys. So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was very similar in sure. movie to The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a good. There's some really good sequences in the film.
The Russian roulette.
The Russian roulette sequence is very entertaining.
It's
but
math.
Yeah, it's only 6%.
Yeah, it's only 6%.
Or 9% or what was it? Yeah.
You know what you find when you look up the definition of idiot in the dictionary?
Yeah. Did you find a picture of me?
No. Not the definition of the word idiot, which you fucking are.
I mean, it's an entertaining film. I liked it, but yeah, it gave me very much the Nice Guys vibe.
Yeah, I mean, it's like watching Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels after seeing Snatch. Like, you see that it's an earlier version of the same style of film.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't help that I saw Nice Guys with Jim, too, and Jim hated it.
Jim hates everything.
Pretty much.
Hey, good news. My wife got home alive, okay? So...
That's your cover story?
Who's a good husband now?
Is that your cover? Who's a good husband now? I took her phone call, and then I'm back on the podcast.
Well, no, that's not true. He also called his insurance agent and raised the life insurance.
I trusted in her abilities. She's a strong, independent woman. She don't need no man.
You're still going to be
luckily for me, she doesn't realize that. And if one of the two of us needs to know that she's too good for me, I'm glad it's me.
So CID happened.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing.
New Pirate CID was released this week.
It was.
There's a monkey.
Fucking, probably the most amazing thing, and actually that's what I sent the text to Jim about, the Mariner got reach again,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome.
The Mariner got 2-inch reach.
There's no reason for it to never have not have reach.
Well, it lost reach when the Nomad gained reach. Because it was dumb in Mark 1 that it had reach and the Nomad didn't.
Correct.
And then it was sad in all of Mark 2.
Nomad with his giant fucking sword had a half-inch melee range.
Yeah.
This little bitty anchor.
Yeah.
Well, anchor is fucking huge, though. I could see that being having a reach on there.
It's
but.
Not as huge as the Nomad sword, though.
No.
Like, the anchor at 1-inch, was, you know, once they introduced those as things, You know, the Nomad being a half inch while the Anchor was 2 inches made no fucking sense.
Correct.
The Nomad 2 inch while the Anchor was half inch in Mark II was frustrating. But 2 inches and 1 inch, I could see.
It's a little doable. I was talking to someone.
Like it's Anchor versus like a Juggernaut's axe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was funny talking to someone this week who has only played Mark III, and they didn't. It blew their mind to realize that there was no 1 inch before this.
Right.
They're like, oh, that would be sad. I'm like, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, it took a lot of sail, a lot of wind out of people's sails, literally, because they were pirates.
You got the clamps. You got. Oh my god, fucking! I haven't posted in the CID forum in forever because I don't with the forums and whatever.
You mean you don't try and you know, if you're not actively like playing a game, you don't try and spout knowledge?
I should just scream at this wall. That's equally useful as forums. Mm-hmm. But the guy, he's talking shit about the Buccaneer and saying the Buccaneers are garbage and that it's strictly inferior to the Talon. And now that they're the same point cost, the Talon is strictly better than the Buccaneer because it's more survivable in melee.
It doesn't have a net that knocks shit automatically down.
What? Is that the thing? And so somebody's like, what about like a 17-inch knockdown? He's like, show me anyone who ever took a Buccaneer for knockdown. I'm like, any good player?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I have a list on the not CID, the fucking discount games. I have a list on there because I won a tournament with like 30 Talons. I'm like, okay, great.
Sure.
You ran forward and feed it and then ground people out on scenario. You're not a good player. You're an idiot who doesn't know how to play the game. Go fuck yourself.
I had a chance to, but I didn't. I mean, in Mark 1, I had a list. I had 30 Shredders in it that I could have won an event, and then Privateer Red had to fork out 30 gold Shredder cards to me.
Yes. But like he was like strictly better. No, it's not. Like a 17-inch knockdown is very different than a survivable shield jack. And he was also about it that he did a battle report that was a fan fiction of one Buccaneer and one Talon fighting to the death.
We're not making this
on the
up.
CID forum. He did a fan fiction of a Buccaneer and a Talon fighting to the death, and he posted it in the battle reports forum like an hour after the CID
dropped. I honestly want to know who talked Jason out of banning him instantly.
Wow.
is this the guy that posts the memes?
I don't know.
Yes.
But he's an idiot.
That's
yes.
him. That is him. Okay, because
yes.
I saw a meme posted about something like that.
Yes, it was Malorum.
Oh my god. Really?
How you post a fucking fan fiction in the battle report of one?
I just
want to
know why he still has posting rights.
I don't know.
Why?
That is useless. That is not feedback.
Why not take both? You could have a nice jack and you could have a Buccaneer.
Yeah, you know what actually sets up your nice survivable mat 6 talons to go in and actually do work? Knocking the fucker down first?
He doesn't want his talons to do work. He wants to run and feat with Magnus and then win on scenario because there's a wall of unkillable light jacks in between the enemy and the scenario. And if he can't do that, he loses because he sucks at the game.
Yeah, he's just...
He doesn't want tactics. He doesn't want good gameplay. He wants a stupid button that's a meme that works sometimes, and if it works, he gets to feel like a god.
We'll have Raylene show him where the button is.
Wow. He could not find that button. That takes skill.
Posting that shit is just stupid. I mean,
this one has been pretty bad about bringing the stupid out.
Yeah.
It really has. Oh, that's sad.
Well, it's because they're all Merc players. These are the people who have engineered the freebooter throw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, trust me, Josh has been texting me all week and wanting to know why all Merc players should be shot because they're idiots.
All Merc players are terrible. Well, the reason is... Mercs in Mark 1 and Mark 2, less so now, but still, it's like minions, okay? Minions are...
The bastard stepchildren of...
What it is...
Okay, I'll let you finish.
...is minions are not easy to win with, okay? Let's say minions aren't even necessarily bad. Let's say they have a 51% chance of winning if a good player plays them, okay?
Sure.
So they're a winning faction, whatever. But that same player can have a 70% chance of winning if they play...
Crix.
Or Circle, or let's say Crix, because it was Crix for a long time.
Yep.
Now it's Circle, but we'll go with Crix as our hypothetical. That same player has like a 70% chance of winning if they play as Crix. All of the serious tournament players are going to play Crix because 70% is bigger than 51,
mm-hmm.
which means the only people who play the 51% winning faction are people who don't care about winning, who personally have a 20% chance of winning a game, so they drag that thing down to a 10% win ratio.
And then Ricard plays minions and brings it back up to a 30.
Right. But the point is, the faction looks like garbage because only bad players play it because the good players want the easier faction to win it. The good players, these tournament caliber players can win with these other factions. They just take the easier ones. Why would, Keith famously only plays janky, easy to win shit because he loves it. He's gotten better now, but in Mark II, there's a reason he always played Gatsby II, right? There's a reason he always played Haley. Yeah. Why play something harder to win with when you can the auto win?
I've seen him show up to events and faction swap with Chad and then go 4-0 with trolls.
Because he can.
Yeah.
Because he has the skill. Yeah. But why make his life harder when he can take the Haleys and Gatsbys of Mark II and automatically win as opposed to having to try to win with a decent faction?
Well, I think that was also kind of the reason why Jordan started playing Mercenaries. Mm-hmm. It's because he was looking for more of the challenge. Because he played Krix all the time, too.
Bored after playing some of the lists he was playing.
Yep.
He was like, I did this because I had nothing else to do.
I dumped Krix and switched to Mercs at the height of Mark II. No, at the end of Mark I, when we went to an event and it was like a 30-person event and 20 of those people were playing Krix. Yep. So I just sold all my Krix that weekend and bought Mercs.
I got a lot of cheap Krix that way.
You sure did.
And Brimmer probably got the rest.
Yeah.
And then it was flipped that like five times to Sunday.
But these factions attract bad players because the good players don't want to saddle themselves, even though they're not as bad as they look. But because of that, they look worse.
Sure. Sure. Makes sense. Makes sense. I know I showed Jim the CID, and he was like, I think I might be pulling out some of my Merc stuff. Jim was... at the time, was a really good Merc player.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, he would be one of the ones that would be in the 51.
Yeah, definitely.
Possibly even higher than that because he usually pulled some jank.
But there's room for jank.
There is room for jank.
There's also a cute little monkey.
Flamethrower galleon, and he's like,
with big punchy fists.
Or punchy fists, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool. You got your little crane going on with the galleon.
I thought that was going to be like a Darius crane, where it'd be like from.
No, they fixed Darius's crane, I think, too.
Yeah,
just because someone showed him the storm, someone at Privateer the Storm Shredder trick, and they realized that was not okay.
Yeah, because that's an 11-inch move. If you get to play something from within two to within two, moving a jack a foot is pretty good.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool if you could do it, if you'd have to spend, do it as a special action, so it would take up your initials.
I will star action move something a foot.
But that's 35 points to do that, though.
Yeah, man, 35 points to win the game? That's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but you're throwing a Merc Jack up there. I mean, you're like, I'm going to move my Buccaneer.
Buccaneer, it charges in there and just doesn't get anything done. Why did I bring my Buccaneer and charge it in?
But it would be like a 27-inch threat range.
Remember,
this guy is only comparing their melee attacks.
How about a crazy thing that I just realized that I've been looking at Kador again because the release had happened.
Doomreavers.
Doomreavers, one thing. I realized that if you want to have a decent list, or at least for me, with Old Witch 2 into Wolves of War, that you really only want to go with four units.
Well, that seems reasonable.
Considering how many basically, my old previous list that I had, after all the updates, had 15 extra points.
Sure.
So I could just add UA attachments to all of the Doomreaver lists, which you want now, because they're all
the
fucking
UAs
amazing.
Are bad.
They're the Greylord Tyranids are also fucking amazing, too. Greylords are pretty awesome. But anyway, I was looking at the list there, and there's the new attachment. There's a Greylord attachment that you can get for the Old Witch, which can make it so she has a +7 to her range spells.
It's a good thing.
It's all right.
A scourge at range 15 and possibly threading 21 is pretty fucking good. And on feet turn, scourge is costing one less.
Yeah,
that's pretty fucking awesome.
Congratulations, Andy. It's like you're playing Denny Wooten.
Yeah,
it's
with no arc nodes either.
It's roughly the same threat range.
Yeah, that's insane. What do you?
But it's all okay because there are people who are legitimately angry at the Powder Monkey because they have empower without it being a magical action.
Jesus,
it's a Powder Monkey, Power Monkey, not Powder Monkey.
No, it's a Powder Monkey. It's literally shoving gunpowder. The fluff reason is they're shoving gunpowder into the engine, a la Mad Max style.
The only thing I really wish they would have changed is the CID, and I've got no feedback or anything to say about it. I wish they would change the Mariner's shooting ability. Do they? They did not remove the.
It's within an inch now. It doesn't have to be base to base.
Okay,
but well, they fixed that a while ago. Okay, but
yeah, although it is a really good gun for the price.
I say being within an inch is significantly less oppressive than needing
have
to be
base to base, base
because yeah. base to base you get things where it would accidentally trap itself.
Yeah.
Whereas within an inch is actually is decent.
Yeah, makes sense. I didn't know it was an inch.
Yeah, they changed that when they changed the Grenadier back in the Trencher CID because the Grenadier would just get pinned in place because you need two guys in base to base with it.
On the other hand, fuck those things.
I mean, you are also correct.
Haley 3 with a bunch of Trenchers behind a cloud wall. Fuck you. Fuck that.
I am pretty happy, though, I mean, at least for Doom Reavers to go on the table, the one thing that I feared the most was Signar. And now Signar is really nowhere to be seen. Yeah. So Doom Reavers, ho.
Great. It's Mark II all over again. Oh, wait, there's.
You know what? That's fine. I have a Morvana list to play against you.
I don't know what she does.
Yeah, no, Morvana.
I mean, the mortality trick doesn't work, but I think Brigands can actually just kill Doom Reavers.
Yes, they can. And I know that from playing into Doom Reavers in Mark II. Because Jordan Bouchois would bring that shit.
Fine. But, it's the same Doom Reavers.
It'd be less range for their shooting, though. Hmm? It'd be less range for their shooting with the Old Witch.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That'd be the only... I mean, shooting always hurt Doom Reavers in the past, but with Old Witch, she can deliver them a little bit better than previous iterations.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's still the old thing of having a sacrificial front line, and then you're in range.
It's not Butcher 2, so it's not like he can take out both lines with his charge, though.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's no more goddamn A-bomb checks.
Yes, and that was the big thing about the Mark II version of the Doom Reaver list is he would hit you with three fucking units and, you know...
Well, first the tournament software...
Luckily, the pigs were immune to that,
Yeah,
too.
Well, I'd say, but first the tournament software would fail the A-bomb check and give you Jordan, and then...
Mark one fear, or Mark one, you know, failing a command check. That was garbage too. Just full run immediately to your table edge and out of the game.
It the nearest table edge?
No, it was back to your deployment.
It was back to your deployment.
It was Warhammer style flee.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, or
giving up
when
free strikes and dying.
Well, that and also accidentally putting your A-bomb in the middle of them. It's like, I got all of my Striders right next to my
Forsaken. Oh, no.
Forsaken. Yeah. Oh, shit. They all ran off the table.
The number of times I saw somebody deploy Terminus right next to Gordon DeWolf, who immediately failed and ran off the table at the top of their first turn. Good times.
Well, that was the thing about them, too, is once you pass that A-bomb check, you could be around them until you left that range, and then you'd have to take it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, because you were used to them.
I think there was a caster or an attachment that had that issue too. It was like, I don't want to touch. All right, boss.
I always ran to that Mark II with Madeline in my Terminus list.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Because there was like a 1-inch zone of where Madeline could affect him, and he couldn't affect her. And it was really hard to do and keep that one rolling.
Yep.
But yeah, no, Fiona the Black. I like the stuff that they did with her. She's got a lot of new cool new abilities.
She works.
Like, I'm sad that they took the affliction spell away. But
she still has Roth's Mercy.
Correct. And overall, she just functions much better. She does most of the same tricks that she did in the past, but now they're significantly easier to do. She got the Dester treatment.
She doesn't have an Enochrian Brand anymore, though, right? Or, not an Enochrian Brand, because... Wait, Telgish Mark versus Enochrian Brand. I'm trying to remember which is which.
Her Telgish Mark is the AoE. Or not the AoE, but the Arc Node.
Right, so not that. An Enochrian Brand was the ignore line of sight and shoot through everything spell that she had.
Correct. So they solved that by her armor debuff. Also, the unit affected doesn't block line of sight. So they still have that.
Yeah.
And then Arc Node...
instead of putting it on your friendly unit that can see through everything, you just... debuff one of their units,
correct,
and then everything seeds through.
Which most of the time is the same, but occasionally will come up.
Yep.
And then for Arc Nodes, she has a much more friendly thing, because now it's pick unit, they all are Arc Nodes, and they don't die from the Arc Node.
Well, it isn't even pick unit, they are Arc Nodes. Doesn't she just have Fatty's thing where she can arc through anyone?
Oh,
she
you're right.
It's just that the unit doesn't get hurt by
whatever
her.
Whatever's the cultist, don't get hurt by
right,
her.
Correct, but she can arc through anything.
That is also correct.
She's got Fatty's ability.
Hey, Swamp Gobber River Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all right, it's cool. So I didn't realize this. So this must have been when they made the name change. So press gangers can add to themselves now for Shanghai.
Yes, that's a Mark III Mark III thing.
Yep.
Well, Jim and I were talking about that too. Mm-hmm. It was like yeah, that now, was now that
the
they have ambush
Mark III, yep. But ambush, yeah.
Now they ambush
people
all the time,
are dumb and
good.
Can't figure out how Shanghai works with the new caster's feet. It's not complicated.
I don't even see what the new caster's feet is. I know that she's...
Not saying feet. Is it a spell? Whatever.
No, she's it's the feet.
It's the feet. Where, like, it's the, like, kill things and add back to your unit.
Okay.
And people are dumb. It's like, so I have a unit that is... It starts with 10, and then they Shanghai up to... Or, like, they get killed down to 6, and then they Shanghai 4 guys, so they're back to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then on feet turn, if they attack things, how many can they bring back?
4.
4. Duh. 4 die. It's you're bringing those 4 back.
It's just for the original yeah. unit size.
Yeah. Bloodbound returns, whereas Shanghai ends.
Well, you had 10, okay. and then you killed 6. You still have your original unit size as 10. Then you Shanghai 4. You're up to 10 of a unit size of 14.
Yeah.
And then you can bring back 4 more through the feet.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's perfect sense. Yeah.
It's not difficult. Like, it really isn't, but people are dumb.
It's because people haven't had to do recursion math in a while.
It's not. The easiest way to do it, you start with your 10 guys, and you have a bucket over here, right? And when your guys die, you put them over here, and then when you Shanghai guys, you bring them from the bucket and add them to the table. And then whatever's here
but what if
is
I,
valid.
What if I remove one of those from play?
Back to the bucket. That's your answer, is back to the bucket. You have your bucket of models, and you have your shit that's in play. And your shit that's in play keeps track of what can come back. Like, and that's what people have always had to do when they
let
have
me show
like
you
Morvana
my Mechanithral
collection. Yeah, exactly.
Let me show you my Mechanithral collection.
It's not
which is
or color Banes?
Yeah, which
fucking
is
Banes?
Specifically color coded both of those, so I know which things were returned versus added.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you lose track of that shit. Otherwise, that's why I painted them different colors.
I'm hoping I know that there's probably not going to be any love for them yet, but I'm hoping that there's eventually a nice Cephalix CID.
I assume Jim liked Shay's pet Warjack. That guy's baller as fuck.
Jim was pretty happy with what he saw out of the whole CID.
Shay's Warjack is amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, this is a guy who's always championed the mercenaries. Like, when they added theme forces, Jim was already playing that theme force, like, way back in the day.
Oh, when they added Talion in, he's just like, I got 4 extra.
Not Talion, Shay's specific theme force.
Oh, Shay's specific
theme
force.
But same thing.
That was his Shay list, and they're like, here, have... 5 extra solos. And he's like, okay. Like, he literally changed nothing.
I mean, that's been Talion since day one, though.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this, you know, I get benefits for playing the list that is obviously the right list anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so he
but it's fine. Now your theme force shoots artillery AoEs at you. Just don't worry, that'll be fixed probably Tuesday.
Choose AoEs at you.
What? So the deployment benefit for the theme force currently is pick 0 to 3 locations, scatter a 5-inch AoE that causes damage. The location that you pick has to be at least 10 inches away from any of your opponent's models.
Okay.
And then it scatters a random direction with 4 being back towards your lines.
Sure.
I've yet to see a battle report that hasn't had at least 1, if not 2 of them, go across the center line towards you, and then you have to run around it.
So they are deployed. If you go first, they are 10 inches up the table.
Mm-hmm.
So your center point is 20 inches from their side.
Correct.
It's a 4-inch AoE, so the closest edge is 22 inches. And so if you roll 6 inches directly towards you, it's 28 inches, which means the far edge of it would be on the center line is the worst case scenario.
Correct.
Eh.
Well... Pressganger's AD, though, so they're...
Pressganger's...
Ambush.
Ambush.
Oh, that's true.
Why are you AD in those
Oh, sorry.
Guys?
Sea-Dog's AD.
Sea-Dog's AD.
And they're only, still. They're only 7 inches away from it.
Yeah.
So is this one of those things every game so far has had something weirdly running...
Yeah. Is it a 4-inch AoE?
It's a 4-inch.
Yeah. It stays in play for the round?
For one round. But it does a POW 12 to anything that runs into it.
And it's rough terrain.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's one of those things, it's a cool concept, but it just functionally... Because they don't want you shooting your opponent's stuff, which I don't blame them. But because of that, the way it scatters currently, more likely will hurt you than help you.
So, like, what could be done in theory is scatter D3 inches and reduce the maximum distance required.
That would work, or only have it scatter to the 6-1 or 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that might be too strong.
That might be too strong.
That might be too strong, yeah. I mean, having...
Scattering backward, like, if it can only... Yeah, I don't know. You want it to stay on that side of the board, right?
Yeah.
So I would say scattering D3 inches and reducing the maximum distance away to like 6 inches.
That would also
then even 3 inches straight forward, it still is an inch away, and they can run around it.
Yeah, actually, that would also work. Or maybe like
eight, all my ideas are great.
Maybe 8 inches or something. But there's some factors you could play. But scatter D3, I think, actually would solve a lot of the problems just by itself.
Yeah. Hooray me. Seriously, the Legion season 1 and 2 are on Hulu, and you should be watching that right now.
It's on my DVR.
It's announcements, and spoiler alert, it's also one of my recommendations. I have 3 recommendations today, but they're all repeats, so I don't feel guilty.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we have like a shit ton of Zappity Grumbles this week.
Oh, we do.
We have, I think, 8 Facebook questions, and I think I've seen two or three in chat.
Jim's in chat. He always has a few.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to scroll?
I mean, one of them is right here.
But you should start at the top.
That's true. We don't have that much to
start at the beginning, and when we get to the end, stop. Reese's made cookies. Reese's cookies, Girl Scouts.
Oh, answering to, would a cat have been more humane? No. Cats are not.
Rodimus Prime had a Zappity there. Top 3 most anticipated movie of 2019.
Endgame, Star Wars 9.
And the first Dune movie.
The first Dune movie's not.
The opening cinematic to Cyberpunk 2077.
That's
print it.
the creative director, I think it was, responsible for The Witcher 1, 2, and 3, is now in Blizzard hands.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, which is very heartening, actually, because he was the head writer for Cyberpunk, and he would not have left it undone.
Yeah.
So the story for Cyberpunk is almost certainly 100% done, and they are just finishing coding and stuff. So it could probably be out for this holiday season, but CDPR is really, really, really one of those companies that doesn't do Fallout 76, and so I believe it might not be out until spring or summer of 2020.
It's very, very similar to Blizzard. They're basically, their release date is when it's done.
Right, and I think CDPR, if they were any other company, Cyberpunk 2077 would be out this holiday, but CDPR will probably wait an additional 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. I would say Endgame is probably the most anticipated for me this year.
Obviously, yeah.
Captain Marvel, both of them.
Yeah, both Captain Marvels.
Yeah, I'm happy to actually see the change that's happening to the DCEU to not suck. I mean, it would have been amazing for them.
It only took 4 recastings of Batman.
Yeah, it would have been amazing if they could have followed, you know, kind of the almost the same game plan that Marvel did for introducing him, but they were so late to the party.
Well, and cautious.
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, I knew there was one you were forgetting that you should be excited for, and then I was going to cheat and bring up this list of anticipated films, and then I saw other ones that I'm excited for. Like, for example, John Wick 3 comes out this year. How to Train Your Dragon 3, Andy, comes out this year.
I don't want to cry at that movie again.
So let's see. Garbage.
Garbage Pail Kids.
More garbage. Don't care about that.
Well, you should name them so we can agree with you or
not.
I'll
go through quickly, and we can just pooper smile.
Yeah. Pooper potato it.
We're fine. We got The Upside was garbage. Glass.
Yeah.
The What Men Want. The hit woman version of What Women Want.
Yeah.
We want your vaginas. Spoiler. Like, it's not difficult. Lego Movie 2 looks like crap.
Nah.
The trailers are terrible.
But
I liked the first one, but these trailers are terrible.
I have faith in the writer for it.
All right, we'll see. Alita Battle Angel, a.k.a. Uncanny Valley, the film.
Yeah, what's... So,
Happy Death Day to you.
Quick question about... So why is only one character anime styled...
They're all anime, just she's the only one that's big eye girl anime. Yeah,
there can only be one waifu.
She's the waifu.
It's just really, it's distracting. It's so goddamn distracting. It's like, stop looking into my soul.
How to Train Your Dragon, Captain Marvel, Us, another new Jordan Peele horror film.
Yeah.
Creepy live-action Dumbo.
That's 2019.
Yeah, April. Yeah. Shazam. Pet Sematary, the new Hellboy. Anybody with the new Hellboy?
I saw the trailers for it. I'm interested in it, but I'm still akin to Ron Perlman.
Ian McShane's in the new Hellboy.
Yeah,
and Mia Jovovich.
Yeah, he's well, Ian McShane, you know, he's in there.
It's the dad.
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame. Oh, Godzilla. Godzilla. Okay. Detective Pikachu.
I would rank that as being one of the top ones.
All right. We're halfway through the year and I stopped caring.
Okay. Zappy.
The Battle Legion. Battle Alita Angel or Battle Angel Alita. Just, whatever that is. It just.
You'll get there.
Bothersome.
Men in Black International.
That's not MIB.
No, don't break my phone.
It's not MIB 23.
It is not.
An MIB 23 needs to be made. Do you know what we're talking about?
Stop making no. Toy Story movies.
That's fine.
Toy Story 4, the quest for more money.
So there was 21 Jump Street.
Oh, got it.
And then there's 22 Jump Street.
I now know what you're
and
talking
there
about.
There needs to be an MIB 23. That crossover needs to happen.
Untitled Annabelle sequel. Hey.
To be perfect, well, you're forced to watch them. Doesn't Raylene love those?
She loves shitty horror movies.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you know it's a shitty horror film that looks like it's just another one of the Hereditary? Is that stupid, the Damien movie?
Oh, yeah. The Prodigy, I think it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it just looks like we're going to be weird and disturbing just to be weird and disturbing, and then all the fans are going to love it because it's a horror film. That's what Hereditary was. It's just weird and disturbing. Well acted. Very well acted. I will give them that, but it was just weird and disturbing and stupid.
Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. Zombieland double tap.
I think Zombieland is going to suffer.
Adams Family.
Wait, what?
The Addams Family.
Wait, what?
Starring Oscar Isaac, Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz, Finn Wolfhard, and Allison Janney?
Maybe?
What? It's an animated version? What?
What?
Yeah. The art style closely resembles the original artwork by creator Charles Adams. What? When? What?
Okay.
What?
I'm intrigued by that now.
It's like a reverse Dumbo, where it's like they live action it and we don't understand why. And they're animating this one and we don't understand why.
Well, because the original was animated, I guess, is the answer.
Disney's all about the let's go and make live action styles.
Well, in fairness for Dumbo, they probably want to just get
nobody's.
What was the film?
Or? Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Starring N.A.
So they don't even have a cast and crew for it.
Cast, but it's supposed to be out this December.
That's not happening. It'll be announced in December.
Oh.
They don't even have anybody rumored to play a part in there?
Nope. They got the directors. I mean, maybe if I bothered to Google it, I'd find something else. But, yeah. So there's a bunch of random movies that are supposed to come out.
Excellent. Zappity.
Zappity. Grumble.
All right. What is the weirdest weapon you've ever used in an RPG? One of the other players.
Yeah.
I enlarged myself and then picked up one of the players and beat someone to death with it. And they thought it was a great time because they had just cast stone skin on themselves. So we just made a club.
Let's see. I don't think I've personally ever wielded something weird. One time we were fighting in the dark and we did the math. And this was in like second edition or something, but we did the math. And it was worth it for the light source. So we set my guy on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that we could see what we were fighting.
You can fight anywhere. You can go anywhere when
you're like, I won't die before this encounter ends.
Correct. And the amount of damage from the fire was less than the amount of damage per round the shit we couldn't see was putting out. So being able to see them was worth me being on fire.
I love RPG math.
The other neat trick is heat metal is an amazing spell in 5th edition where you can just go boom. And it's great with, like, if you're fighting humanoids, they'll have like a sword and you'll heat the sword and they'll take like D8 plus whatever damage and they'll drop their sword. Or if they're wearing armor, they're just fucked because you just heat up their armor. But if you're fighting like monsters, it's like, well, that's not a very good spell unless your rogue buddy has metal arrows. And it just goes blink. And then you just start melting shit from the inside out by heating up the arrows that are stuck in their body. That's good times.
Yep. Andy?
Mine wasn't anything unusual, but we had two characters. I was playing a half-ogre cleric, which I ended up getting the Hammer of Thunderbolts, which is, you know, basically Thor's hammer, which also destroys golems on impact. You know, if you hit a golem with it, they just die instantly.
What about Smeagol?
Poor Smeagol, yeah.
And poor Jim's character, who was a kobold that was basically playing as... He was basically a very cowardly kobold, but he had his own golem that he built. That it was his fighting guy, and I critically missed something, and I killed his kobold with his golem with my hammer.
This isn't a weapon, but I did in junior high / high school, because like 8th, 9th grade, we played the DC Heroes RPG, and my character was all about shape-shifting. He could change the material he was made out of. He could do the T-1000 style like body morph, and he also had Beast Boy powers.
Okay.
So the body morph thing was just because I had points left over, so I'm like, cool, it fits the theme. But the main thing was the metal and the Beast Boy, because I would turn into an adamantium mosquito or gnat or other such small insect. But since I was adamantium, I was indestructible, and I would fly into somebody's ear canal or nasal cavity, and then I would turn into a blue whale. And that always worked.
Not in C-Lab, though. That wouldn't work that way.
Why not?
Do you remember when the shuttle expanded inside?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
Inside Shanks's head?
Yeah.
That didn't work out very well.
Well, you know.
This is a can. There's two references of C-Lab in our D&D reference here. Because if you get set on fire, you can go anywhere.
You can go anywhere.
Zabity.
Grumble.
All right, you ready?
I got him.
Oh, you do?
Yep.
Oh, all right.
All right, kill team, yay or nay?
Kill team? Yay.
Sure.
Meh. Yeah. Sure.
The spinoff things are always the good things about the GW games.
Yeah, I just don't want to get the addiction back.
Yeah, I'm not going to play it, but I support its existence.
Yeah.
It is, but I would agree. It is, from what I understand, it is the gateway drug to 40K now.
It's a small investment, so you don't really need that much money, and it plays quickly. It's it doesn't take up much space. And if you really, really want to get into that universe, that is, like Dan said, a very good gateway.
I was talking to an employee at our friendly local game store, who you'll be able to guess who it was, and that's fine. I was discussing how, 40K, it's just not my game, but I don't, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody has their tastes. It's just not
shame.
For me. Correct. And this person was talking about, people complain that it's not fair, but war's not fair. I'm just like, yeah, but war's not fun either. Like, fuck you. What a dumb thing to say after I already said that I wasn't going to bad. Like, now you make me want to badmouth your thing, because that's the stupidest defense I've ever heard for bad game balance is, yeah, our game isn't balanced or fair or enjoyable, but neither is real war. Fuck you.
I know exactly who
Of course you
about.
Know exactly who it was.
I have guesses, but I'll check later.
Okay. Yeah, we don't need to...
But, it's like, come on, dude.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. Your worst experience in snow or ice conditions?
Mine, I was driving, I had a little hatchback. It's not a hatchback.
So it was not a hatchback. We've gotten that so far.
Yep, it's a Toyota I was riding.
Was it a hatchback?
It wasn't a hatchback.
Okay, gotcha.
Like a station wagon in the back. So
it's like a station wagon.
Was it
a hatchback?
No.
Okay. So it's like a station wagon, but it's not a hatchback.
No.
So it's a minivan?
Nope. But anyway, I was driving it home. Home, what I meant is up in Mayville, Wisconsin.
Sure. So mistake one has already been made.
Yep, driving on Highway 33.
Mistake two.
Or 151 going all the way up to Beaver.
And I'm sure this was old. Was this old 151 or post four lane 151?
That's just two lanes.
So old 151.
Yeah, no, but yep. I was already past, I was almost to Beaver Dam.
Okay.
And I hit an icy patch and spun, the whole car just spun a full one, basically not 360, because that's just all the way around, would be 480?
No.
No, it's basically I spun around and then ended up going the other way.
Sure.
540,
that's it.
Think back to your Tony Hawk days.
Yeah, never played Tony Hawk. But anyway, as I spun around there was a semi-truck coming my way. Had I spun out maybe like 10 seconds later, I would have been hit head-on.
That would have been good times.
That would have been good times, and that was probably the most scariest part. I never ran a car into a ditch. I've been always good in that regards, but yeah, that one time I spun out.
I spun out and did a 540 as well when I was like 19 or whatever. And I did the 540, so I ended facing the other direction.
Yeah.
But handily, while spinning, I also flew 40 feet to the left, so I ended up facing the correct direction on the other side of the median.
Oh, wow.
But in the process of spinning and flying through the air, the lift was only enough so that one of my rear tires hit the curb of the median and snapped the axle right in half. So I landed the face in the right direction on two sideways tires because my axle was like, fuck this noise.
I'm done.
I'm done.
I wish we could have Brian here because Brian could tell his story about how he almost died. And he almost died in an old Chevy Impala.
How?
And those cars are indestructible, basically. Yeah. But yeah, he was leaving, going to Sun Prairie from Madison again. Hit that those bridges there. Hit a patch of black ice. Slammed into the median. Then he was side T-boned and hit the other side of the highway too.
Speaking of bridges. Mm-hmm. And Dan can tell his ice death story, but I just want to say I recently was over like by Menards, over there on the west side of Madison, mm-hmm. and I always hate being over by there because every time I'm over by there, I see the fact that there's half a bridge, and it infuriates me that Junction Road has half a bridge, and for people who are listening, it's the picture half a bridge, and no, it's stupider than that. And I'm not going to go into the details.
They're probably putting a second one at PD.
We're going to have another half bridge?
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing at PD. Yeah.
It's the dumbest fucking thing. Why the half bridge?
Only one lane of traffic gets a bridge.
One direction.
Yeah.
One direction gets a bridge.
Yep.
Yeah, because they're a shitty band.
If you're going east,
you can't alter bridge.
If you're going west, you drive down and then back up.
After a stoplight.
Yeah.
But if you're going the other direction, you have a roundabout from two off-ramps.
Yeah, so you either have a bridge with no stoplight and then an roundabout off-ramp, or if you're going the other way, you go down and have a stoplight and then go back up. Why? Why the fuck isn't it just a bridge?
So the best part about the bridge also,
The
half bridge, it has a stoplight on it.
Yeah.
For the traffic that's coming
on. Oh, yeah,
you're
right. Yep. You're right, there is a stoplight up there, too.
There's still a stop. Why half a fucking bridge? Why isn't it just a bridge?
Jeff was angry.
Why do the people going west not get a bridge? What possible fucking advantage could there be to the half bridge?
So they didn't want to build another off-ramp. They didn't have room for another off-ramp.
Actually,
just bulldoze the batteries plus.
I think it was Steve's liquor.
That's on the other side.
But yeah. I think that might have actually been the reason.
Yeah, I don't think there was enough room for an off ramp on there.
Yeah, I think they realized they would lose
Build a fucking bridge.
Well, I mean,
just build a ramp.
Hey, we can completely blame this on the Tavern League because it probably, Steve's Liquor probably provides too much income for them to win an eminent domain case.
You know what? If there's no room for a fucking ramp, then don't put a ramp there. People can go and get onto the stoplight on the other side of Menards.
There's always room for a ramp, as in like an actual ramp, like Dukes of Hazzard ramp.
Yes.
There's always room for
those. That's true. Like no drive up a circle, just you have to be going fast enough to get onto the bridge and then fishtail direction.
I mean, we'll
half a fucking bridge.
We'll children bowling league that thing. We'll put up some like side rails that have like some bumpers.
Nice. Fucking infuriates me every time.
It is a little annoying, but it is funny that they're doing the same fucking thing over on PD, on PD&M. It's the same thing right now. That
you can tell. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's going to be more likely.
How did you all, what is your ice?
Oh, yeah. So my ice condition story isn't actually driving. I went camping in Wyalusing once in January.
Yeah.
The first night wasn't so bad. The second night, it was just a pile of men in the middle of the tent.
Back to the pile.
Because the second night it dropped down to like 5 degrees.
Oh,
it was bad.
I haven't had it be that cold. Oh, actually, I do kind of have an ice story too. I spent
told your ice story.
Well, I have another one.
Okay,
But it's not death defying. But I did spend the winter in the Christmas time in the Mojave Desert, and that was not fun. It would be like 70, 80 during the day.
I'd take that.
Yeah. But at night it would drop down. Like I had like a cup of water that was next to my cot in my makeshift army tent, and yeah, the cup of water was frozen.
Sure, and then you wait an hour and it's thawed again.
Yeah,
like I said, I would much rather have that right now. All right, Zebedee,
Grumble.
What would you do to make Mirage better?
Mirage,
practice it.
He's a really cool car from Transformers. He was the blue and white.
Did he support Rodimus Prime?
I don't even know. He was barely in the movie, I think.
Well, maybe he should have supported Rodimus Prime. He would have gotten a better casting.
That's true. Nepotism, it works.
Yeah.
Or a couch.
Fucking.
I don't know what Mirage is.
It's the scenario that it is the most winnable on scenario.
Circle, circle with objectives, three flags.
Does one of the flags disappear?
No.
They should make one of the flags disappear.
They should just.
Zappity.
Yes! Grumble.
What are your thoughts on the concept of cross-game models? Riot Quest, the War Machine, and Hordes is an example, but not the only one.
I mean, it's a great gateway.
I like my company being in business, so I like them being able to sell things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is the sum total of my opinion on that.
It's really worked. It's really worked for Games Workshop. I mean, like all their Warhammer Quest models that they have, those are all usable in their regular game systems. I think you might run into potential balance things.
I mean,
with the use
at least
of
with the Riot Quest ones, they've said we're making them interesting, but if they're just interesting, we're fine with it.
Like, sure.
They're giving more people a reason to buy stuff if they want to. Not they intentionally are making sure it's not the next Gorman.
Yes, I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm happy that they're in a way where they're actually producing stuff that's just cool to put out, kind of like how they finally decided to release all the alternate reality casters.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sat in
10 years.
Purgatory for 10 years before they finally said, hey, okay, we'll bring them out.
Yeah. So,
but yeah. I mean, I'm thinking that maybe the Riot Quest might be in that same vein where they are usable in War Machine Hordes, but they might be an optional.
Correct. Thing. I think Hungerford has said, you know, they're playable in War Machine Hordes, but their primary purpose is their Riot Quest models.
Yeah.
So
the rules will be totally different. Like, it's just a physical chunk of metal or plastic. You know what I mean? Like, you can do whatever you want with that. Mm. Like, you can have, like, Under Chief Meyer, right? And then you could have that same physical model just be in the Undercity game and just have completely different rules. Like, they don't even have to be analogous. So there's no harm to it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they don't even have to make sure that they're balanced in both games or anything like that. So fine.
Yep.
It's fine.
Cool. Zappity.
Grumble.
What is good in life?
Hmm? No, that's not
the I used to
proper.
Live with a guy whose last name was Good. And so whenever I try to just say the word good on Facebook, Facebook wants to tag him. And I'm like, no, I don't want to tag him. Stop it.
So that's good in life.
But that's not the proper, it's what's best in life, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it from the
Conan
quote?
Well, this person said what's good.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Unless you're Andy, caramelized mushroom and onions.
Yeah, that is true.
Those are not good. Well,
caramelized onions on a cheddar malt.
Are good in life. We're not saying they're best. We're just saying they're good.
Right. The question is good, not best. Man, flipping over your pillow.
That's good in life.
That's pretty good.
Well done, buffalo wings.
Mm-hmm.
I have an odd question.
Uh-huh.
It's not a Zappity Grumble question.
Well,
but it's not topic.
And then
both, okay, Zappity
Grumble.
All right, both of you have significant others. Both of you are married. Okay, so I have this question here. I have been single for a majority of my life.
Most people have.
How I can't sleep with another person in my bed? How long does that take until you actually do fall asleep? Is it just basically full of sleep deprivation for months until you can actually fall asleep?
Because I never had an issue with it. I can sleep like the brick when I want to, and B, even when I would sleep alone, I would sleep on the outer 6 inches of my bed.
Okay.
Like, I sleep sideways, like fetal position, hanging off my bed.
This is why Nathan and I share bed at a con really well.
Yeah, seen how I sleep.
Yeah, because I also I will gravitate towards the middle. Like, I'm usually better when it's someone other than my wife, but I will just move to the middle of the bed.
You give me my own bed, I still sleep like that. So it's a waste for there not to be another person in there.
But yeah, I also fall asleep immediately, so I cannot help you in this question.
I found out with a couple of things. Number one, drinking doesn't help.
Drinking always helps with everything.
Drinking doesn't help with me for this. I NyQuil is a fucking lie. I can't fall asleep. I can't do it.
I'm
going fucking crazy.
Have you tried contemplating death and existence?
That would involve more drinking.
That's
too.
How I stay awake. All I do all day is think about death. During the day, it's other people's. During the night, it's my own.
It's gotten to the point where basically I've had to make the compromise. Like, if I have to work the next day, then we have to sleep in separate rooms, because I cannot fall asleep. I don't know what it is. I've drank in like big chunks of NyQuil. I just, no. Just can't do it.
I've shared a bed with you at a con before.
I don't believe that.
Oh no, that's right. You bring a cot.
Yes,
you bring a goddamn cot.
Yep.
You weirdo.
Yeah, I can't fall asleep. I have a
have
hard
you tried
time.
The pillow trick?
What, flipping the pillow?
No, just putting the pillows.
No.
So no. Is it presence or is it?
Presence, noise. It's really just more presence right now. And I know the only way I'm going to get used to it is but I'm just wondering how long of getting used to it do I have to go through?
I don't know. I crossed
I'm
that bridge like 15 years ago, so.
Damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
Damn it.
It weren't even a bridge for me.
How much NyQuil and... I'm not supposed to mix those, alcohol and NyQuil.
No,
that's
no,
bad.
You
can mix them at least once.
Okay.
That's true.
I don't want to
hear... It's a great trick. I can only do it once.
Oh, do I get a posthumous Vesca?
A posthumous Vespa?
No, no.
You want a posthumous Vespa? Like, so you're just like zooming around heaven the streets of Rome?
Posthumous...
ciao.
Ciao. I got a Vespa. Just zooming past Yahweh. Meep, meep, ciao, arrivederci. And God's like, damn it, Andy.
I'm trying to remember what he won. Did he win Best Actor? No, he didn't win Best Actor. Best Supporting Actor?
Who are we talking?
Heath Ledger.
Oh, Jesus. I was making a Daffy Duck reference.
No, I was making a Heath Ledger reference.
He drinks the nitro and then eats the thing.
Oh.
It's an old Daffy Duck cartoon where he's at a talent agent and he's showing off his act.
Hmm.
And he dies and he says, it's a good trick, but I can only do it once.
Nope, mine was mixing...
Chat is incorrect. It's called Purple Drink. Not Purple Drink. Purple Drink. Get your Purple Drink on.
Well, the NyQuil sleeping time?
NyQuil and alcohol and... Yeah. Listen, it's sleepy time go-go juice.
It says it's supposed to act...
Heroin?
It's supposed to act right away, and it doesn't act at all.
You gotta
it's like,
I'm like
just
an
in
hour.
Bed, and I just...
You pantomimed that? Do that.
I've
just drink a bottle.
Have you just considered Percocet?
No, I don't want a gateway drug. I don't want this to end up on Judge Judy eventually. That's my goal.
I thought your goal was to end up on Judge Judy.
No. I want to end up on Judge Judy.
No, People's Court. What? That's the way we want to go.
I meant actually having sex with Judge Judy.
No.
It was a phrasing thing. I want to end up on Judge Judy. She's got spirit.
She
would be a very vigorous lover.
I would be scared the entire time.
Yeah, exactly.
If we had to choose our Mary F. Kill Judge shows.
Yeah. Judge Judy. Rawr. She's got that B. Arthur thing going on.
Rapidy.
So no advice other than just drink more.
I think power through will be your best bet.
My life of having dogs and sleeping on the edge of my bed meant that I was already used to another entity / didn't need the space.
I could sleep with a cat in my bed, though.
Yeah.
Have you? Actually be an option, a stagger when you go to sleep.
What?
Yeah, you go to sleep sooner and fall asleep.
Oh. Because actually when she gets up to go to work, I don't remember that at all.
Correct. Yeah, if you can...
Be asleep first.
Yeah.
But I'm playing WoW.
Well, that's your decision.
You have made choices. You have to choose which of these choices.
Yeah, there's also just don't sleep.
That's true, too. And that's kind of what I've been through today.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of napping today, and I slept through most of the day.
Zappity.
Zappity grumble.
All right. Three more.
Jesus.
Can you think of a decent reason to use the new pirate lights? And do you think PP will increase the freebooters' cost to make people make them more likely to use them, which would be hashtag sad?
Yeah, so the issue is that the freebooter is a heavy for like 1 point more than those lights cost. And that is an issue. I really like the clamps because it feels a lot like my old Lots of Talon lists, you know, where you get these guys assaulting in and doing a shitload of attacks. And
by Lots of Talons, you mean Lots of Vanguards.
I meant Vanguards. My apologies, Vanguards.
Just a lot of neat variety in all the lights. I mean, I don't see having to spam all of them, but I mean.
Yeah, no, not so. Like, they're solid things. It really is a shame, though, that every one of those lights, you look at it and you're like, yeah, but for like 1 or 2 points more, I can have a heavy.
Or I could take a Buccaneer.
Yeah. Well, Buccaneer is strictly inferior to a Talon. Math shows it. If you write a fan fiction about one of them fighting the other one, that's all the playtesting you need.
Did the Talon and the Buccaneer fuck?
Yeah, there was penetration going Tuccaneer. On. Tuccaneer? Yeah, that's the fucking ear.
Or Balian.
What?
Zappity.
Is that a sex
just grumble the
Talon. Talon, Balian. If they made a little baby Jack. Just so one would be a Tuccaneer.
Grumble the damn question already.
No, I said which Fuccaneer, because it's fucking.
Yeah, but I was combining them as in like a marriage type thing. No, it'd be a Tuccaneer.
This is not for procreation.
Oh.
This is, they're not biologically compatible.
They only have an exhaust port.
This is like when a seal fucks an otter, or the other way around. I forget which one. Otters do it. When an otter gets its hands on a baby seal. They're not making a baby.
Or a dolphin gets his hands on. Yeah. Just about anything.
Or that scientist gets her hands onto a dolphin.
Yeah. Zappity.
Science. Yeah, Grumble. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. We got two more.
Sorry. Favorite British show on Netflix?
Ooh. Toast of the Town? Toast of the Town? I think that's what it's called.
I started watching that. I stopped watching it.
Well, that's Scott.
Who's in that?
Matt Berry?
Yes. Yes,
Toast of London.
Yes, it was because he's the boss from the IT Crowd.
Yes, it's got Matt Berry, who was the second boss on IT Crowd. Toast of London is very good. Yeah, I don't know. Most of my British television I just watch on YouTube because it's mostly like panel shows that they don't bother bringing over to Netflix.
Yeah, there's a bunch of documentary stuff no one else will care about. Sherlock, otherwise.
Right, but Sherlock's garbage.
I like the IT Crowd.
Yeah, I mean, IT Crowd is.
I still quote it here and there. I liked it on Facebook, and now they continuously hit my feed with videos from the IT Crowd, and I find myself watching it all the time. Probably my favorite is the one with the fire.
Well, sure, yeah. Well, no, that one's good, but no, the best episode of IT Crowd is Workouting. Dude, when they go to the gay musical.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I thought I could make it work because you look like a man.
The reveal of Moss.
Moss saying yes, miss, is the hardest I've ever laughed watching a television show. That moment is fucking brilliant. And them arresting the tall, bearded, redheaded man in the background.
I'm savored. I'm That's disabled. So glorious. Did they ever come out with the Christmas special, or did they not do it?
I don't recall a Christmas special. I just IT Crowd is phenomenal. If you haven't watched it, and Toast of London is my other one, just because I assume everybody's watched IT Crowd.
Yeah, yeah. Also, you should not Google the Young Ones as well, but you should watch the Young Ones.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those things that you just shouldn't Google.
Yeah.
We have a Surface Hub at work that we never actually use for meetings because we have a better TV in our project room for that. So we'll just put up streams of like live pandas or like stuff like that.
Sure.
One day, one of the guys was like, well, let's watch Chanel. So he just typed in free webcams.
Oh,
and remind you, this is a Surface Hub, which means it uses Bing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like four of us are like, Kyle, no.
No.
And then he's like, oh, let's delete that tab.
Yeah, back in the day when you had all the Kazaa and all the other streaming services, I wanted to get the British comedy show, The Young Ones. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, when you type that into those type of streaming services.
Yeah. Chris Hansen gives you a call.
Yes. Asks
you to sit down.
Yes.
Well, the other one that I did, and I think I've told this one.
I was like,
I don't remember if I told the story on air, but I've told this story, which is, so those of us in Wisconsin, you'll remember from your local county fairs and or going up to the Wisconsin Dells that you have like the corn dog huts and the lemonade stands and all those things. And they are disproportionately staffed by like Russian teenagers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The Dells is run off Eastern European H-1As.
So there is like an Eastern European exchange student program where they send whatever it is. But yeah, so the point is, Wisconsin people understand that if you go to a carnival, it's staffed entirely by like Russian teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking with Raylene because we were at the Fitchburg City Fair and sure enough,
all the carnies are Eastern European.
All the carnies are Eastern European teenagers. So I'm like, why is this? Let's figure it out. So I start Googling, and I Googled teenage Russian girls. And Google was very judgmental about this.
And Bing would have just been all like, here you go.
Enjoy the tits. This is legal in 7 states. I hope you're in one of them.
And also legal
in Russia.
That's
my Bing impression.
Are you being, he's half drunk?
Ah, fuck it. Here's some goat porn. I didn't even Google this. Shut up. Enjoy.
The fuzz. Zappity.
Crumble.
All right. And I'm slightly modifying this last one. Nathan, you have 1 minute to talk about Gwent.
Oh, boy. So the 5 new casters that just came out that were from Thronebreaker, you have Meave and you have... I'm on the spot. New expansion comes in March. It's going to have more casters, and I'm a little worried about that because I don't have enough...
Dust?
Not dust. They changed it a bit, and so you get prestige points for doing your dailies, and then you use the prestige points almost on like a sphere grid system, like Final Fantasy X, to unlock more abilities and casters and stuff like that, or leaders. And so I don't have enough to get all 5 leaders that just dropped, and they're going to have a new expansion drop in March that's going to have more leaders, and so I'm just worried that I'm not going to have enough prestige points to unlock those leaders without paying actual money, which I don't want to do.
You can do it.
You got 10 seconds.
No, I got 10 seconds left. But on the bright side, they just made it so you can't use dust. You can't use ore to make premium cards. You have to use dust to upgrade your cards. Until the last day before that made the change, I got a full premium collection by using up half of my ore that I'd been saving. So I have a lot of ore left.
Good job. Zappity.
Crumble.
That was your minute of Gwent.
Also, the new monster leader invalidates Rakka's Queen, and that's a shame because she was already bad.
That was your minute and 5 seconds of Gwent. That was the last question. Actually, the last question was just Gwent.
Gwent, question mark?
No, exclamation.
No, just Gwent.
Just with a period?
Yep. Yes. Not even period. It was just a statement.
Oh, okay. Speaking of which, and Dan knows about this because I brought it up while we were getting stuff for the ATC. Andy, you should get, it's a card game called Dude.
Okay.
All it is a deck of cards. And the deck is made up entirely of 2 copies each of a bunch of cards. And each card is just the word dude.
Okay.
But, like, it could be dude in all caps. It could be dude with a question mark. It could be dude in parentheses. It could be dude with, like, the middle 2 letters exclamation point and the other 2 not exclamation point. So you have your hand of dude cards. And so you pull your first one. Let's say it's just dude with a question mark. Well, that's dude? And so you say, dude, and then somebody else in the group also goes, dude, and then you know you have a match, and so the 2 of you go, sweet, and you each get to discard your card. And then your next one's going to be dude, like, you know, a different way.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like the Happy Salmon game, but instead of being secret handshakes, it's just saying dude in a different way.
Okay.
And the expansion is all, like, accents and stereotypes. Like, you have to say dude like a cowboy or dude like an Italian pizza man.
So what we need is this and 5 of the marijuanas and...
Yes.
5 of the marijuana?
We each inject 1 marijuana.
I don't do marijuana, though.
Inject marijuana only once.
No. I would partake in a marijuana edible, but I would not do... I don't like smoking.
Meh. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Don't go into my 3 Seasons porch.
With all the bugs?
What? No, sure. Yeah. No, that wasn't the porch. That was one of the bedrooms.
That was the 3 Season room.
Yeah. The 3 Season porch is just where.
Well, now it's just one
nobody
season.
Nobody who
it's
lives
just
in
cold.
My house ever goes there to smoke marijuana. I swear, officer.
So you kicked your stepdaughter and daughter out?
Yeah. I'm not saying that her boyfriend smokes all of the weed ever, but he is a heavy metal band singer in Madison.
So just 2 of the
marijuana. I get asked at concerts if I'm holding all the time.
Correct.
I think you were with me when we were at Andrew W.K. and somebody asked me if I was holding.
Yep.
Yeah.
You really just should start holding, Andy. It's rude of you to look like that and not be holding.
I mean, you already are following rule 1 of being a dealer.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't do your own product.
That's true.
You should hold
weed.
Maybe
that'll help me
you
sleep.
You should be a bartender.
The weird part, though, is I had like 3 beers last night, too, and I still couldn't fall asleep. It's just...
You know what would have helped? Doing a marijuanas.
Do I look like I need another reason to snack?
No, well, yes, you need a reason to snack because you're going to snack no matter what.
Sure.
At least this way, you'd be like, well, this is kind of high, not just because I mechanically eat all day every day.
I love our notes. All we have on here is cancer come later, fart, fat is now, and the button. That's all
I
we
gave
have.
You a pen. It's your fault.
Give me that. Give me both of those.
You try from your memory. Recreate a script.
Oh, no. I'm just writing all five marijuanas.
All five marijuanas. All of the marijuanas. I recommend Legion. It's on Hulu. Watch the Legion season ones and twos so you're ready for the Legion season three, which you should also watch when it comes out onto the television. Also, you should play Undertale. Undertale's a really good game despite everybody telling you how good it is because it's one of those classics that lives up to the hype. And also, Overlord was a great movie that was only in theaters for like one showing per theater ever, and it's coming out onto streaming things. Although so far, I think you have to actually pay for it. Like, it's not free streaming. It's on like Amazon pre-buy digital version. But Overlord's sure. good. Get it as soon as you can.
I've heard a lot of good things about Overlord's
really good. It is more war movie than it is zombie movie, but it is incredibly good. The opening parachuting sequence is like D-Day at Saving Private Ryan level. Like, this is an amazing opening sequence in a war film.
But with Muppets and Velcro arms they just put back on.
Yes. Hello. So yeah, here you go. Overlord. And the thing and the stuff.
I got nothing this week.
You got nothing?
No.
So I might be, it's not a recommendation, but I'm going to try to play the new Apex.
Well, then it's good I did three recommendations because that averages out to one each.
I was going
to
do the new Apex Guardians.
Apex Twins?
No, it's for, it's on PC. It's the game that was released by Respawn and EA, unfortunately, but... But
is that the one that's just like, here, surprise game, because we need to put sign out?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Apex something. I can't remember.
Yeah, Apex Twin.
No, it's not Apex Twin.
They've got the music videos. I've seen it. It's
Apex something.
Twin.
Fuck, it's not Apex Twin.
Well, you're the one who brought them up.
One of them feels hurt.
Yeah.
I recommend that you should go Apex Legends. What it is.
Yeah, but I know, Chad said so. Why weren't you paying attention?
Oh, yeah, look at that. But I am going to try playing that this week. I'm going to try streaming something on... Oh, I can't stream on Thursday. Fuck this having a significant other.
Well, you know.
You should probably say that quieter.
She knows.
She knows I detest having a relationship with her. It's not a secret.
Sorry. But no, I can't stream on Thursday because Thursday is that day that I detested for like 39 of my years.
Is your birthday?
And this is the part where Nathan realizes Thursday was Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Thursday is Valentine's Day. Yeah, it's true. Raylene and I are going to go to Texas Roadhouse or something. I think I might lie and say it's my birthday so we can get to see the sad yeehaw. the sad yeehaw? You know Texas Roadhouse?
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to Texas Roadhouse?
No.
Are you going to make the people sing?
It's the best thing. So Texas Roadhouse... It's your standard shitty chain steak place, right? And like standard shitty chain restaurant places, if it's your birthday, they have to demean themselves. And they come out and they sing. And because people thought that Happy Birthday was copywritten, which it wasn't, but before we knew it wasn't, they all had their own song they'd sing, right?
Yeah.
So Texas Roadhouse, they do this like little line dance where they all like dance together. And they sing their birthday song about, it's Texas Roadhouse, enjoy your birthday. I wish I was dead. And in the middle of it, all of them like in unison all go... Yeehaw! Because they, you know, the person who wrote the song wanted this yeehaw, but these waiters and waitresses do this 10 times a day, day in and day out for $3 an hour. They don't have a yeehaw to fucking give. It's the saddest thing you will ever hear is the sad yeehaw on someone's birthday at Texas Roadhouse. God. Normally when I go to restaurants, if it is my birthday, I don't tell them because I don't want that
shit. Yeah, say, my wife and I have a standing thing where that's grounds for divorce and we're okay with it.
Dude, the sad yeehaw is worth it. It is so depressing. They all, it's just a whole bunch of people saying, please kill me.
All right, so I'm probably going to try to stream, some Andy playing Apex Legends on Wednesday. We'll go with that.
Just careful because the songs, you might get a copyright strike if you just stream an Apex Twin CD.
My real recommendation, though, is you should go and watch Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
You should.
That movie is so goddamn good. I watched it again recently.
So many superheroes in it.
Yeah. You got Brie Larson. You have Brandon Routh. You have Tom Jane.
You have Captain America.
Captain America. Yeah. You have Johnny Storm.
Yep.
Well, I like how he switched from just naming the actors to...
But
only for Chris Evans, we mentioned just his
sure,
other roles.
But, I mean, for everyone else, we knew who you were talking about.
He yeah. was it Jumper? He was a superhero in that, too. Was it Chris Evans in Jumper?
Know. Well, no, there was only one hero in Jumper, and that was Samuel L. Jackson. I thought everybody else was a fucking villain.
I thought the only hero in Jumper was the end of the movie.
That's true. The movie actually wasn't terrible.
It wasn't bad.
It's just that Hayden Christensen was in the prequels and was terrible in the prequels, but that was Lucas's fault, not his, but still... but yeah, Jumper's one of those. I was about to say Scott Pilgrim is one of those movies.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking not Looper. Where, what's the one with Morgan Freeman in the brain? There, this is you on 10% of your brain.
Oh, that's Lucy.
There yeah. we go. Sorry,
fuck
wrong
you
wrong.
But Scott Pilgrim's one of those movies where you need to realize that the protagonist is a piece of shit.
Oh yeah.
And if you think he's a hero, and if you think he deserves a happy ending, you are a garbage person.
There are things, like, I don't normally like that style of music, though, but there's something about the music of that film is just very, very awesome. Especially the song for Clash of Demonhead. If you go look it up on YouTube, Clash of Demonhead's song with Brie Larson. Yeah, turns out that most of the villains in there were... Something from old NES stuff.
All like NES references, yeah.
Yeah. That movie is so good. I love it. It still stands up and it's 10 years old.
Yeah, time flies. I remember seeing that in the theaters. I think me and the four people I saw it with were half the people that saw that movie in the theaters.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It's one Edgar Wright basically makes all good films anyway. I haven't seen a bad Edgar Wright film.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Baby Driver, I mean, that was just really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's problems with Baby Driver, but they're directorially speaking, they're fine. It's a fine movie. It's not his best, but it's not bad either.
And Shaun of the Dead and, you know, Ant-Man. Well, he wrote Ant-Man, basically.
Shaun of the Dead is one of my three favorite movies in the Cornetto trilogy.
Yep. I have three favorite movies in that trilogy as well.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead is probably my second favorite movie in that trilogy.
You like World's End more? Or,
yeah, I'm a
or
hipster. I'm a hipster.
You like World's End? I'm a Hot Fuzz. I really like Hot Fuzz a lot.
I like sci-fi movies better than I like zombie movies, and I like zombie movies better than I like cop movies, and so they reflect that order. They're all three great movies, and the tiebreak is just which genres I like best.
It's just what happens to poor, I can't think of the actor's name.
James Bond.
Yeah, James Bond. It's just what happens to him at the end of the film on the steeple is disturbing.
The reasons I almost just put Hot Fuzz at the top is just because there's a lot of really smart things in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, that entire final fight sequence is literally he's a big cop in a little town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to make that literally your final fight scene is a big cop in a small town when that is metaphorically the plot of the film is brilliant. But there's a lot of that shit in World's End as well. It's just that nobody cares because nobody saw that movie.
World's End's good. I like World's End a lot too. But
people watch Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz 100 times each, and then everybody saw World's End like once and went, oh, that was all right. And then that was that.
That's another character, too, that you find out is just a piece of shit, too. The main character in there is pretty much a piece of shit.
You know he's a piece of shit the whole movie. Like, that's the point of that one. That's more like a redemption thing. But, yeah. Oh, well.
Yarp.
Dan's done talking.
Did Dan not
see any of the Cornetto trilogy?
Both of these statements are true.
Fair.
You haven't seen them?
No. I don't watch movies.
I know, but I mean that's one that I think would be. I think you would actually enjoy all three of the films. Shaun of the Dead is easily.
Shaun of the Dead is one of those universally beloved films.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's, like I said, this is pure apathy. It's not that I've heard anything bad about them. I just don't care.
Sure,
it's a valid counterpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Also, when we finish this podcast, I get to go get dinner. So
you get to go slide to dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still better than last week when it was drive home and a ping pong ball.
Yeah. Sorry, my driveway is shit.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll just die halfway to my car. It'll be okay.
Well, you know, the good thing about ice is it doesn't hold blood very well.
I promise I'll hit you with the car to make sure I finish the job.
Yay! Yeah, I don't want to, like, just be there, like, laying on the ground with, like, a broken clavicle. Like, just speed bump right on over me.
Well, they're supposed to get, like, 5 to 6 inches tonight, so...
No, that's tomorrow night.
Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah.
You would have I don't want to wait, like, 24 hours before the snow gets
Don't worry, the cold will get you in about 2.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's
fine. I'll just pour some water on you.
Nice, thank you.
Yeah.
The Russian method.
I've heard that hot water freezes faster. That's why you have to do the snow trick with hot water. Mm-hmm. So make sure you pour cold water onto me because it must be warmer for longer for that to be true.
Yeah, I don't want you to get scalded. I just want you to die of hypothermia.
What? No, I thought you were warming me up with cold water.
No.
No, he's doing the Russian trick.
God, how many dumb people out there throwing boiling water over their heads during the cold snap last week?
Yeah. Away.
He's like, I want to make something magical. Oh, it burns.
Oh.
Fucking
now
idiots.
I'm going to go live under an opera house.
Thanks all for watching.
That was beautiful.
We'll catch you all. You guys just did the turkey as well.
Yeah, I always do the turkey. The turkey or the Evelyn Hoffman original, the thumbs up fist bump. Thumbs up fist bump, brah. Brah.
All right, Zappity.
Man's ear.
All right, I'm stopping this. Thanks all for watching. See you next
week. Good. Sick of this crap. I'm going to go home.